So welcome to our NEPT case study call. This is our monthly call where you submit cases and we actually go through it as a case, not just ask questions about labs and all, which is lots of fun too. But it's where we actually submit and we go through the person. Sometimes people submit themselves, sometimes people submit family members, and sometimes people submit actual clients. And it doesn't matter to me because I want this to be the best learning opportunity. And they got the inspiration last one, which seems like it was just a couple of weeks ago, but I guess it was almost a month ago, when Jan did hers and she presented it in PowerPoint. And I got, wow, wouldn't that be a great way for everybody to present? That way, every single one is a learning opportunity, right? Here's the case. Because I find it tedious when to read those forms, and you probably find it tedious to fill out those forms, right? And then it's just me reading this stuff as opposed to you presenting it. So I want to start that, and Lynn and I will chat about what we need to do to make that happen, what kind of submission we need to have you do to do that, whether it's a PowerPoint or whether it's a Word doc or something where you're presenting the form, and we'll give you a format for that. And what will happen is if you do that and you're really up with it, like with Jan, what she presented, that's totally acceptable what she did as a certification case, right? Now, she doesn't need the certification case because she's already certified, but if she hadn't been, that would have been perfect for her to get credit as a certification. So why don't we just like make these calls practical, but also get your certification requirements out of the way? And I know it might be unnerving to go, oh, then I have to present that and all that, but you know, that's the truth of the matter is you really want to get good at presenting a case because when you're working with people, you want to be part of their medical team, their healthcare team. And there are times when you may have to contact their medical doctor, like Jan worked on that case in conjunction with Chet, but she's in the program, but it may have been another medical doctor that called her in and said, look, I don't know anything about autism and nutrition. Can you help me with this person? And she'd want to be able to go back and present it. What I really loved about what she said was that she uses that as a presentation with the client, right? To create something like that, that she would go back to them and say, hey, we did your initial consultation. Here's what I found. Here's where I think we can make headway here, and here's how we're going to do it. And it gets much better buy-in for them signing up for a program. So I really, really like that approach, and I'd love to be able to like groom that and work with that. So you guys get really comfortable with throwing that together really quickly. It's, you know, copy-paste from their form that they filled in. Create some slides, very simple. We have templates. We have what she did last time, which she made available. Did we make that available? Did we put it on the case study page? I don't even remember because I haven't looked at that page. But it was right before I left for vacation.
I haven't seen it, but that doesn't mean it's
there.
We'll
make sure that those slides that she did for that presentation are there because not only that, it's just a great learning opportunity because she had all her resources and everything else. But that can be used as a template. And then also in the certification area, we have templates of, which Dan did in the first place, of how to do a presentation for a case. And that way you can just model it after that. Okay, here's, you know, patient presents with blah, 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 their age, their name, whatever, their weight, what they're looking at, what you're thinking. And it helps you to organize the information really well too. So we're going to do that. Lynn and I will talk about what the practicality is and when we should start that. But we're going to start a semi version of that tonight, where I'm going to put up the case on the screen so everybody can see it. We'll have access to all the labs. But what I'd like is for, instead of me to go through and try to fumble through reading what you've written, is for you to tell us a little bit about the case, right? Just present. This is a 37-year-old female. She's got a history of this. She's this weight. She's this height. And here's what I know so far. And then go, okay, here's where I want to go and what are my next steps? Can we look together at the labs? And you can give me some information about how we can best go through this. Because you may already know a bunch of stuff about this person. Like you figured it out and we don't have to go through that. You can just say, based on the blah, 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 I feel like this is what some of the stuff that's going on and let's go. What I really want to know is what could be my next steps. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Yeah. So what I'm going to do, we're going to start with Isabel And I'm going to put up the form that she filled out. And I'm going to have her just tell us a little bit about the person and what kind of support she really needs with this person. And I'm going to open up my note-taking iPad so I can take some notes from it. So give me a second to get that up. You guys, any of you guys use Evernote? I love Evernote for taking notes on my on these calls and whatever else is going on. So Drina just came on too. All right, so we're going to share screen. So Drina, we're going to do Isabel, then Sharon, and then you. And Jen, if Jen's on, Jen submitted some stuff. If we have time after that, we can move to Jen's. But Jen was the fourth, and I try to limit it to three on these because otherwise it's just too much. But didn't we also have Michelle's that we didn't finish, or did we actually do that? I don't see Michelle on. But we'll have to find out from Michelle because I think we didn't do Michelle's on the last call because Jen.
Oh, Sam, I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't on. I just assumed that she.
And then when I got the end and we were going to do it and then she was gone or something like that. So okay. She's not here today. So we'll see where she's at. I'm going to sneeze. So excuse me.
Bless you.
So sorry. All right. Sorry about that. All right. So I'm going to share screen. Let me find it. That's the, so we have master trackers and hopefully we don't need to look at that, but I'll look back and forth if we do. Sometimes those things are in your PDFs of your lab results, lab stuff. So, okay, lab results. It's always, okay, show all windows. There we go. All right. Here we go. Okay, so let me go back to the beginning. There's a lot of them open because all of you had a lot of stuff. That's weird. There's Sharon Wegner's. Where's Isabel's? Sharon, Teresa. Is this Teresa Gage? That might be Drina's.
Yep, that's Drina's.
Yeah, there's Drina's. Weird how Isabel's was at the, there was the oats there, and that one we're not doing.
Oats? I know I submitted oats.
Yeah, this is yours.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so why don't you go ahead, did I start the recording again? Yes, I did. So why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit about this person. And what I recommend everybody do to make this a really good learning opportunity is just pull out a pad or something where you could just take a few notes as she's talking about this person so that you can help formulate your own ideas from this and then, you know, check it out against what we talk about. So go ahead and there we go.
Okay. So this person, male, came to me about 6 months ago for digestive issues and also lack of energy. So the top three concern was fatigue, weight loss, fogginess. At the time, last week, so he's been on roller coaster. He feels better for 2 weeks, and then for another week or so, he feels crappy. So he's been on roller coaster kind of this way for the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And digestion was pretty good until this week. So that's what we've been working on. We did oat tests. So he has candida overgrowth. So we're working on
Before you get into the test results, let's just, background. So she's got some background on him because I want to see if there's maybe as you're going through this with the roller coaster, we want to see is there something in the background that is playing in. Okay. So it looks like he's had some skin cancer.
Yes, skin cancer in college, mono. So that's a long time ago. So the trigger was 2012. He has severe stomach flu. That kind of triggered this whole downturn spiral of his health. And his digestion was never the same afterwards. And he was in the hospital with diarrhea and all that. And no one, the doctors didn't find anything. And he has been not feeling well ever since 2012. He went on a paleo diet, felt great, for a month or two. And I think for a period of 5 to 6 months, he felt pretty good. Then he went on a trip to Europe. And that was early last year. And ever since he came back, it's the same thing happened all over again. Not feeling well, lack of energy. That's the main symptom. Dizziness, fogginess. Okay. And so he did.
So let's just jump before you go on. Okay. So I just want to think through, like, when we're hearing things from people, we're thinking, okay, he had this illness, right? So something happened at that point that turned things around for him. You'd want to ask, did he take any medication at that point? I mean, obviously they shouldn't give him antibiotics for mono, but you shouldn't assume that that's in reality what happened. Sometimes antibiotics, taking a course of antibiotics can spiral somebody downhill. Did he take acyclovir or some sort of other drug?
Antibiotic, he did take some tetracycline as a teenager for acne. And he did take, he said about once a year or so, he would be on some type of antibiotic.
Okay. And there wasn't a specific, like, big issue of antibiotics with this, or did he, during this diarrhea, the severe?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. No. And then always want to ask what happened right before the symptoms happened, right? So 2012, mm-hmm. he came up with this severe stomach flu. Mm-hmm. What was happening in that month or two or even six before that travel, new career, specific set of stresses, accidents, whatever? So do you know anything about that?
No, he said everything was pretty good. I mean, he had a stressful job. He's a city manager, so a stressful job, but nothing out of the ordinary. He couldn't pinpoint to anything out of the ordinary.
Okay. So these are just, I'm just going through to make this a real learning opportunity. These are the kind of things you always want to look at. Here's the point in time that the symptom started. What was happening right before it? And then what was the progression afterwards? So that's always good stuff to ask and really get into nitpicky kind of detail when you're talking to somebody, because sometimes what they don't think is, we moved into a new house. We got a new carpet. There was a flood, you know, simple things that they may think, oh, you know, no big deal. We cleaned up after the flood, no big deal. And you're starting to think, oh, maybe it's mold exposure, right? So these are the kind of things I want you guys to get in the habit of starting to ask to put together their picture. Okay, so you go on. And I don't mean to keep interrupting you. I just want to really make this a good learning opportunity.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So good on the paleo diet for a few months, right? Mm-hmm. And then you traveled.
Yes, right? Travel. And then everything went down south again.
And when he traveled, mm-hmm. so you're thinking traveled. So either he was off
his own. He was in Europe.
Right? He was... Mm-hmm. Right? Eating differently than he had been, or he was exposed. You want to go, did you go to Mexico? Did you go to Africa? Did you go to places where you could have been exposed again to something? But most likely with travel, you're thinking, yeah, he dumped the diet that was working for him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So he did, let me see what he, so for the last 4 months, he was taking a medication for diarrhea once or twice a week per week. But after we worked together, he was taking it once a month. So like he barely. So the digestion was working a lot better. But energy level is still very low. He lost about, let me see, he was 150. Now he's 132. So he keeps losing weight and he's losing muscle as well. And the fogginess is much better, but the energy level, it just still not there yet. A note about the mold exposure on the O test that confirms candida overgrowth, and also there's some mold.
Okay.
And recently they found a leakage in their home. So recently they opened up the floor, the wall. So they're, until recently, you know, I don't know if that's been there all this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mold exposure, definitely. And clearly his health went south, you know, the last few weeks. And also the last few weeks, his dad passed away. So that's a lot of stress on the body.
So, and his health had gone down before the dad died, or?
No, he actually felt pretty good. Like he had like two straight, like really good weeks, a week before his dad passed away.
Mm.
Yeah. And the funny thing is whenever he's out of the house, he's been doing traveling quite a bit. It felt like his health is better when he's not at home.
Mm.
And that could be the mold exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these are all little things that you picked up on, right? Those are all mm-hmm. little things to know. Like, are they better at home? Are they better when they travel? Are they worse when they travel? Or, you know, all those things help you to put together a picture. Great. So, so he's worse in the last couple of weeks after the dad died.
Correct.
Did he ever go back to the paleo diet after the travel?
No, he hasn't like strict. No, but now he is on a very little grain, you know, some brown rice, some quinoa, maybe half a cup a day, fruit and some fruit, not a whole lot, a lot of vegetable, chia pudding, and what else? And nuts. Avocado, so pretty clean. His diet is clean. Occasionally, he does, like, when he feels better, he sneaks stuff in.
Okay.
You know, like, he still goes out, and he said he's very careful, but there is still exposure to allergenic food, like gluten.
Gluten, okay.
And wine, he's been kind of sipping wine a little bit, like a sip here and there, but that's not completely, he hasn't been completely off for like a month straight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But whereas when he did the paleo at first, was he consistent?
He was consistent for 2 months.
Okay.
He said he stayed on for 2 months, but I didn't ask if he was still having wine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But he said he felt really good. Like he felt like he got his health back, but then he went on a trip. So throughout the 6 months, they're like every 2 weeks we talk, he's different. Every 2 weeks he goes on this roller coaster.
Okay.
So that's kind of the challenge right now.
Okay. So this medication he has not been taking since?
Only the Vibrazy.
Yeah.
That one. He took one today because his, you know, the last week has not been good. So
blood pressure medication.
Yes, he has a, what you call the valve is not closing or mitral. Yeah, so that he was prescribed of that, and his blood pressure is on the lower side. So it may be due to the medication.
How long has he been on that?
He's been on, let me see if I have the master tracker open. Let me see. I don't think I noted that, how long it's been on.
Mm-hmm. Always good to know, and also good to look up. Did you look up each of these medications to see what kind of side effects and also what nutrient interactions there might be?
Yeah, I looked at the side effects and dizziness, fogginess, that's one of the side effects, which is what he's feeling. So, you know, I told him that.
Yeah, it would be good to know when he started that.
Okay.
And also to really do a little research. I mean, you can't tell somebody to go off their medication, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you can pull research, go on to drugs.com, find out from Lewis Center, find out, mm-hmm. you know, about mitral valve prolapse. My understanding is usually you do not put somebody on a medication for that. So it may be that it helped if his blood pressure was high at the point. They were concerned about it
mm-hmm.
being triggered. But it's
no, his blood pressure wasn't high. The doctor was just like, you know, to be safe. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would be looking up that medication and giving him pieces of paper, not necessarily telling him to go off of it or anything, but really should mm-hmm. discuss this with your doctor and say, hey, I'm experiencing these mm-hmm. symptoms. Can we experiment with going off this medication for a month and see if it improves?
Okay, yeah, we talked about that. So I have to follow up on him, with him to see if he actually did talk to his doctor.
Yeah, good.
To see if he could get off the medication for, you know, for a little while.
Right, good. And how did he feel about it? Was he open to it?
He's open to it. So, but I just needed to be.
He's young. 53. Okay. He's still young.
53.
Yeah. He's still youngish, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And so we have the tracker. We can look at that. And I know you do okay. On the tracker. Dietary habits. Frequently eating allergens. So when you say frequently versus, you know, at first you said not frequently, but he has actually frequently eating those.
Oh, no, he's not. He's not.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Recently, yeah.
Organic.
Yeah, we recently, oh, I probably put that wrong. Okay. He recently just added back in eggs because he, you know, he was off for like 4 months. And so we're now introducing.
So here's the trick though. If you don't get somebody to a level of improvement that's consistent, adding back allergens is just a crapshoot because you don't know if he adds it back. Is he just in a good stage? Did it cause a problem? So I really am. I encourage you not to add potential allergens back until you reach a level of stability with somebody.
Okay, and how long would that be? I think his stability's been like 2 weeks. That's kind of
I would be pulling more things to see if there's other things and getting him to be consistent. But if he's eating gluten and he's not staying away from it for more than a couple of weeks, you know, all of these things it's like the bucket gets fuller and fuller and fuller.
Yeah. I think he's really careful about gluten and dairy, soy.
Okay.
And nuts and packaged foods. Doesn't eat packaged food. He buys everything organic, low glycemic. He cooks his own food.
He's committed.
He's committed. And just occasionally once a week, they go out and there's accident. He doesn't on purpose.
Say, okay, I'm going out. Let me eat bread.
Accidental exposure, perhaps. Or like, I'm going to have one bite. It's okay. You know, it might be, you know, just
well,
one
that
little
I
bite.
Myth of just one bite. The other where he's being super careful and then sometimes you just, you know, you get exposed. I find that I eat out a lot because I travel a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think I can count, you know, twice in the last 5 years that I've had a gluten exposure, an accidental one, right? That it was soy sauce and something I didn't know about. And I felt it because I'm very sensitive. Not everybody does, but it can keep it. So I think that the risk of accidental exposure, if he's super careful and he asks the right questions, is there soy sauce on this? Is there hollandaise sauce? Do you put, you know, whatever else they, you know, all those hidden sources of gluten. I think he's probably pretty safe if he's conscientious, but the just one bite will get him every time because it won't allow that antigenic load to go down. And then he's got this antigenic load of mold that's there, right? And it's like the bucket that overflows, right? So if he's got this constant thing where the bucket is about an inch from the top, and then he adds a bite of this or he adds a bite of that, or his father dies and he has stress to it, right? Then overflows. Right. So really, if he's looking at the molds in the house, that's the important thing. And, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, with mold exposure, you got to get rid of all the cloth, furniture, clothing, right? Depending on how bad the mold exposure is.
Right? Yeah. They're getting tested in the next couple of weeks to see if that's been taken care of.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he doesn't have a job, so he was laid off, so he's been off work for almost a year, so that's stress.
Very stressful.
That's very stressful, although he's kind of, you know, accepted, but still is stressful.
Sure.
Without, you know, income and still working on your health.
Now, his blood pressure tends to be low, adrenal fatigue, but also he's on a blood pressure lowering medication. So we would expect that his blood pressure is going to be low and that can have an effect on energy level. Low blood pressure, right? You're not getting enough blood supply to the, especially fog, you're not getting it up. He's got the postural hypotension, right? Dropped 10 points upon standing. So I think it's really important to emphasize that with him to talk to his doctor.
Okay.
Right? Because medication side effects, you already said dizziness and foggy. Yeah, of course, because people have low blood pressure. They're like, you know, can't get any blood to their brain. So I'd be looking at that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, and it sounds like he's got the good habits. Does he have a stress reduction habit?
He meditates. He meditates and he goes to massages. He does yoga. So, so yeah, he's pretty, you know, family is putting the order.
We're grasping at straws to look at the diet, but that could be because of the mold exposure, right? If you lower the mold exposure and look at the medication and he gets off the medication, possibly that bite occasionally, unless he's super, super sensitive, might not be a problem. But it's, like I said before, the bucket. You always have to look at how big, how full the bucket is. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Right. So we can look at his oat. And are these pages, individual pages? There's four of them. Are they just different pages in it?
They're ones, different pages.
Okay.
Different pages.
So fortunately, this is the first page, the yeast and fungal markers. So he's got a high, it's not super, super off the charts high, but it's above the range. On the arabinose, the tricarboxylic, and the citromallic. And what I always do, I don't know if you have that with you on this, but I always look them up because I can't remember which one's which. I know arabinose is a candida marker.
Yeah, that's candida. And one, I think maybe tricarboxylic, maybe that is mold, or I don't remember.
Okay.
I had a consult with Greg Plain, and yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you've got that, and let me see how high that is. So 0.72 with the range being, you know, so it's fairly, it's 25% above, or almost 25%, 20% above the upper range, so that's considerable. And the arabinose is way high, right? It's more than double, or about double, the upper range. So that's a big exposure, okay? Nothing in the bacterial, nothing here. In the back, so bacterial, fine. So we're looking at mold and candida. So you can look at these and go, okay, let's kill the candida, and yeah. But having a mold exposure, no matter how much you try to kill the candida, you're going to get thwarted, right? So because of that load on the body, yeah, you can try for it, but he's really got to get the environment cleaned up. But his oxalates are off the chart, right? 118. So,
So to clean up the mold exposure, it's just the house, what he breathed in.
House and antioxidant support and overall support. Yeah. So I would get this guy on super high dose because he has diarrhea. That's hard to do though, right? You've got to get him on whatever dose he'll tolerate of, I would just do liposomal vitamin C.
Vitamin C. Okay.
Yeah. If you can get him in to get some IV. That could be helpful.
Okay.
Really push him over the edge because you can't push bowel tolerance in this guy because he already has diarrhea.
Yeah, he already has.
But I would see if you can start him. I know it's expensive, but it's cheaper than IV is the liposome. Okay. So if you can start him with 3 grams, 1-3 times a day, and see how he does.
Okay.
With that. And if you can get him to say, look, let's just do this for this 2 week period. We're just going to keep increasing the C to get it up to that, you know, 10, 12, 15 grams a day, because that can throw him over the edge in terms of his immune system to help his body to handle all this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And as far as the oxalates, I mean, the only really approach, typically if the oxalate levels are high in the urine, it means it's high in the blood, which could contribute to some of the symptoms you're talking about. And oftentimes it also contributes to like kidney pain or bladder pain or frequent urination or things like that. So you want to ask him about that.
Okay. But he has enlarged prostate, so frequent urination.
Right. And I think oxalates can contribute at least to the pressure, the bladder pressure on the prostate, which could make it worse.
Okay. So oxalate, a lot of nuts and berry have oxalate.
Yeah, and spinach, right. And chard, and
yeah,
we got to watch the. So get a good chart, a good low oxalate chart. You don't have to take them completely necessarily, but you might want to go. You should go slowly with it though, because you can get a rebound effect as his body starts to eliminate it. As it goes low, he might have a rebound effect. So I would just slowly decrease.
Slowly.
Look at the highest oxalate foods he's containing. Give him some charts. Give him links. There's easy. They're in. I don't remember. It's in the digestive thing where we have oxalate links. And then just get him to gradually drop it back and see if that helps. It's just going to decrease the load here. B6 and magnesium help the body to eliminate oxalates. So oftentimes people are low in B6 or magnesium and they're not eliminating their oxalates. The other thing is when he consumes foods that have significant amounts of oxalates is to take some magnesium and or calcium citrate. Okay. Careful with the magnesium citrate, of course, because he has bowel, you know, diarrhea issues, but you can certainly look at the calcium citrate.
Okay.
Okay. And that'll help to bind the oxalates and pull them out in the digestive tract. So you want to have him eat it during the meal, with the meal. So if he's eating, I wouldn't have him eat spinach. I'd tell him to get off of the high ones, spinach, rhubarb, chard, and any of the ones that are super high. But if he has some kale, which is a moderate one, he's having the citrate, the calcium citrate with it.
Okay.
Makes sense? That'll help him out. And then the B6 can be very helpful as well. And magnesium in another form, like threonate or glycinate. Yeah, those won't necessarily trigger. You can go slowly with it, but usually they don't trigger the bowels.
Okay, yeah.
So that would help with the magnesium to help pull the oxalates out.
Okay, yeah. During, like, if he has, when he has low energy, then it triggers the, it comes with fogginess first, and then the bowel movement.
Okay, so these like come up at the
3 to 4 bowel movements a day. They're not diarrhea, but still very loose.
Kind of loose, yeah.
Yeah, very loose bowel. So I'm careful about magnesium and C.
Yeah. And you said he's thin already. He's like, what, the 135 you said? That's kind of low.
Yeah, it's like 132. Yeah, it's kind of low. Ever since we started, he was 150 when we started, so he kept losing weight.
Yeah. And does he tolerate fats? Does he tolerate?
He does. He does. I've been recommending him to have less.
Have less or have more?
Tolerate.
Oops, you're getting a little.
My internet. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you are you saying you've been encouraging him to, to help keep his weight up? So more avocado or coconut or good solid, good fats.
Yeah. Yeah, so
have some MCT oil.
Okay.
Give him some extra calories, and also MCT is so good for brain and memory.
Okay.
So it may help with some of the fogginess, but you have to go super slow with MCT.
Okay.
It triggers diarrhea, so start with the half a teaspoon, go to a teaspoon, do a little more if that works. If it doesn't and you can't get them on a tolerable dose, it triggers the diarrhea, then you back off. But I was just thinking in terms of it not putting too much liver gallbladder strain, or coconut oil, coconut cream, you know, those sorts of things.
Yeah. So now he's getting worried. Like, is there something wrong, something else that's wrong? You know, I need to, like, going to different doctor's appointments and trying to figure it out.
He's getting nervous. And then that increases stress, right? So his dad just died, it got worse. He travels, he eats off his diet, then it gets worse. But when he's out of the house, it's better. So, I mean, you're going to spend some time assuring him that I think you're on the right track here. We found this mold. There's indications in your oat test of mold, and you've got it in the house. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting there. If there's a place that he can stay temporarily while they're working on it, that would be helpful. I know not everybody has relatives in town that you can go live with for a couple of weeks, but I know people have completely left their homes. And that's the only way to get better as a result.
Okay.
But increasing the immune response can be very helpful. Bioflavonoids and vitamin C. Quercetin might be helpful.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a little bit off in his quinolytic, but they're both low. So I'm not worried about this ratio. So I want to just address this. We'll have more on this in the oat test. This quinolytic 5-AA, we look, oh, it's high. What does that mean? But quinolytic, both of them are low. So neither one is in a toxic level. If one of them was high, if quinolytic was high and 5-AA was low, but it's probably related to his serotonin, which could be related to gut motility, and tryptophan. So all of these are low, so he may actually benefit from some tryptophan or 5-HTP as a supplement.
Okay, so he's on MultiPro?
Oh, he's on Modal Pro.
Modal Pro, yeah, Modal Pro. So he did a transit time test was like 48 hours, wasn't great. So he's been on Motopro for the last month, and also on intestinal draw, because he didn't have the, we didn't do any testing, but there's something going on with the gut. So we just went ahead and.
Well,
and
yeah, you did do
the supplement.
It clearly shows you that there's some overgrowth in the gut, because that's what it's related to. Yeah. So it may not be enough. Like, look to see how much tryptophan is in that, in the MotoPro. I don't remember what the dose is.
Okay.
But you, he might benefit. Does he have any trouble sleeping?
No, no.
Okay.
He actually, like right before, like at night, he, it gets really tired. So like, you know, around 9, 10:30, then he was describing like all of a sudden he like hit a wall and just couldn't barely, you know, brush his teeth and, complete his nighttime routine.
Mm-hmm. B6 so there, might be the issue. Remember we mentioned B6 is important for getting rid of oxalates? B6
yes.
Mm-hmm. is also involved in creating serotonin from tryptophan. So these are tryptophan metabolites. Doesn't mean his tryptophan is low. Let's see if there's any indications of low tryptophan in the amino acid part of this test. But this may be a B6 issue.
Okay.
Ask him if he remembers his dreams.
Oh, okay. So what does that indicate?
Well, people that don't remember their dreams oftentimes do have low B6. Does he have any carpal tunnel or any things like that?
Oh, sorry. Hold on. What did you say? Sorry.
Any carpal tunnel or problems with?
No, not that I'm aware of.
You can look at your list of B6 symptoms or give them the vitamin assessment.
Yeah, we did the vitamin assessment. I'll go over that to see.
Yeah, go over that.
Nothing was alarming, I think.
There's two things here that are suggesting B6, so I would be looking at B6.
Okay.
Before going to more serotonin or tryptophan, which could increase motility, which obviously you're trying to do, but you got to be careful you don't overdo. But if it's really low, I don't remember how much is in MotoPro, but if it's 25 milligrams of 5-HTP, that's not a lot. You could experiment. Just tell them, look, you're going to try a couple of experiments just to see if that makes any difference.
Okay.
But the B6 would be, to me, the one to start with. And then the other thing on the oat, thymine's super low. Folate metabolism. So
what's the amount for tryptophan that you're recommending?
Well, for 5-HTP, and some people do better with tryptophan, some with 5-HTP. I usually start people with 25 to 50.
Okay.
You can go up as much. Studies show, you know, as much as 200 to 300.
Okay.
You know, the ketones, I usually am not concerned about these being high, because if he's on a paleo or ketogenic diet, it's positive. So it's higher than the average, but you know, hydroxybutyrate, that's what, you know, people take beta hydroxybutyrate sometimes just to trigger that. So I'm not concerned too much about this. The Sebasic, I'm not sure what it's okay. Never mind. It's supposed to be less than, it's just less than average. B12 looks okay. Pyridoxine does look okay on this particular test, the B6.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is an absolute versus a functional, right? And there could be functional reasons why his B6 would be lower. So you're not going to, you know, this may not be the best test of the vitamins, except for the ones that are functional. Methylmalonic acid, yeah, that's great because it's a functional test. The one for folate is definitely functional. The riboflavin is testing glutaric. The B6 and the pantothenic acid, they could be just temporarily elevated or low.
Okay.
If he's taking any B5, and if anybody's on an adrenal protocol, they're taking it. They usually are high, and it's not a problem for it to be high. It's just reflecting what they're taking. Doesn't really reflect the tissue level.
Okay.
Okay. Same thing with the B6. These others do. Ascorbate, super low. So that we were right on there for looking at that, right? You know, you really want to see this in the range, because you want to be constantly recycling. And so every 6 hours, this B6, the ascorbic acid is eliminated. So it's really important to have people take it at least every 6 hours, 4 to 6 hours, to keep this up. And you want to keep those blood levels of ascorbic acid up to be able to facilitate a lot of the antioxidant reactions and the immune system responses and all the other stuff that it does, the anti-inflammatories, et cetera. And the biotin functionally is a little low, the methyl citrate. Does he have any problems with hair loss or nails breaking or anything like that?
No, he hasn't mentioned it. Yeah. No. I'll ask him.
I mean, certainly looking at a good B complex that would have the B6, you know, that have all the Bs could be helpful.
Okay. Yeah, he's taking two different B complexes, yeah.
Different ones? So yeah. I'd be looking at, is he absorbing them?
Mm.
Is it liquid, capsule?
No, it's capsule. It's pure encapsulation and pneumatic.
No, they're good forms because they're active. Mm-hmm. So, but he may not be absorbing them. And, you know, we can't always go by they're taking it and they've got the certain amounts. And sometimes it's looking at a different form or extra of a certain one of the Bs. So the biotin's a little on the low side. The NAC is low, but I think it's okay. You know, it's low according to here. But the ascorbate and the B6 are the two that I'm thinking need attention.
Okay.
Okay. You know, some issues with this detoxification pathway may be blocked. I'd have to look at the glutathione. But the fact that he had the NAC was not flagged as low, but it was low, and the glutathione is low, and the B6 has to do with sulfur metabolism. So if you were to look at the pathways that we look at in the genetic testing, B6 is important for sulfation. So I'm really leaning towards B6 on this guy.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. And what's the recommendation? What kind of dosage?
I would probably look at 25 to 50 milligrams of an activated form, or about 100 of a non-activated form. So if you were going for P5P, I'd go 25 to 50. Going like with the hydroxyl, the pyridoxine hydrochloride, I'd probably go with 100.
Okay, yeah, he might be getting close to, is it per day, or are you suggesting?
Yeah, per day.
Per day. He's getting at least 25, I'm thinking, because he's taking two different Bs, so maybe he's not absorbing.
These are actually pretty low dose, although I think the pure encapsulations is activated, and I also think the level.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing flagged here. Usually what you're looking at in amino acids is excess, very high. And then that means that there's some metabolic, but you can't really go by these here to know there's a deficiency. Usually you combine this with an amino acid test.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, that's it. Was there anything else? Was there anything on the... Anything else you wanted to talk about with this guy?
Let me see. So if you have his organic, not organic, the master tracker open.
I do.
He's got some blood work done. And let me see.
Is this him? Yeah, Isabel. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the O test is fine, yeah.
I'm just looking real quick. He uses a knee pain. Okay. So I'm just looking here. Some of that, this is great that you fill this in. So well, mercury fillings replace 110. So he still has some of that. So that just adds to the toxic load. It may.
So the master tracker is not on the screen, at least not.
Oh, it's not. New share. Sorry. And this would be, I think this is his. Okay, great job of filling this in. So that was what I was saying. You did a really great job of filling it in. But he has some fillings, right? He still has some mercury. Again, that in and of itself may not be contributing, but people have that. That's an extra toxic load on the system, an extra load on the detoxification pathway, which based on his glutathione level isn't functioning all that well. So going back to that, you might look at like maybe even the Apex OxyCell, which has a topical glutathione in it to help support the antioxidant pathways. And it has some NAC, so that may affect that, may be a real easy thing for him to do.
Okay, he was on glutathione liposomal for a while.
Okay, so not while he's doing this, so we don't know what his effects So it seems like he still needs to be. And he may have a genetic thing, right? He may have one of
I think problems. He does on one of...
Whoops, you're frozen.
On
what?
On one of the lab, I don't have it here, but there's something about the liver. He's, I don't remember, but there's something going on with the liver, not some kind of genetic disposition with the liver. I'll have to look at it. But so that's why I'm careful with the supplements, tincture with the alcohol.
With the alcohol, right.
Yeah.
And he's got some, you know, he probably has some altered genetics. He's got, you know, mom with skin cancer and breast cancer, dad with prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. So really, I would up him with that vitamin C as much as he can get. You can get him on.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see what else you have here. Antibiotics every other year. So, you know, and he gets frequent infections, obviously, if he's having antibiotics every other year, right? When was the last time you took antibiotics? I haven't taken antibiotics since I was... probably 20, right? So it's like 40 years. So somebody's taking them every other year. It means they're getting sick.
Mm, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the immune system is having some depression.
Okay.
And he had, acne as a kid. Fatty acids come to mind too. Like how is he doing on his essential fatty acids? Is he, so probably not omega-6 dominant unless he's eating a lot of meat or,
he recently just started omega-3 supplement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's look at his lab. Let me move this.
Okay.
Okay.
And his glucose is on the higher side.
Oh,
you know, it's not too bad, but it's still on the higher side.
So he hasn't, so his glucose priors are all in the high. Okay. And then... yeah. Okay, so let's see what causes it to go up. He took his supplements and his glucose went up?
I'm sorry, it's not supplement.
Here.
If he has grain. Oh, in the morning. Yeah. So in the morning, he's in,
Right, it went up to 132 after supplements. So I'd carefully look at the supplements to see if is there rice starch in there? Is there any sugar or any kind the coatings? I'd be looking carefully at his supplements because it's gone up at 45 minutes and then it came back.
He just told me today he's been having half cup of black tea every morning before he eats.
Could be that.
So I just told him,
So it's stir fried chicken with cucumber, but look at this at a half an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was on the cucumber salad? So these are the kind of things I want you guys to start to ask. He may think cucumber salad and he throws on some kind of dressing. Maybe there's some sugar in that salad dressing on his cucumber salad. Did he have that at a restaurant? Did he have that at home? Mm-hmm. Did somebody else make it? These are the kind of questions as you go through these with people. I hear cabbage tacos with beef, guac, and chips. Okay, chips, 137, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So these are numbers that can be disturbing his balance. Celery with almond butter and nuts, those are perfectly fine, right? Goes high after the chips. Sweet dressing. Actually, that didn't go up too high. That's surprising.
No,
So we don't know what that is.
The potato, we see there's one that's really high with the potato.
Potato, white rice.
Yeah, white rice.
We want to talk and see about doing a metabolic reset with him. Like just do it 30 days. We're going to reduce the allergens. We're going to take away the foods that are suspicious and just see if we can get you back. His energy may come right back up. 156 after the white potatoes. Holy cow.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
So when you look at this with him, you explain to him the dangers of that and that the glucose isn't getting into his cells, probably insulin resistant. So it's sitting in his blood, which can cause damage to his blood vessel linings, right? Probably more risk of that than mitral valve prolapse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Issues, right? So that's where I would go with this. Like using, when you go through these with people, is where you really go through them.
Makes okay. sense. Yeah, it does.
And then here's more diet. Okay.
Yeah, that's more. Yeah, it's
yeah.
been.
Yeah. So good. Okay. Let me find the. Find it. Where'd it go?
Testing. Yeah. For the end.
Yeah. I'm used to looking. Oh, okay. Good. You can do. You do really a nice job with this.
I've been, and he does it. I just put in, and,
he does it, right? Oh, that's
yeah, cool. He does it. He put in all his, tracking in there, all his journal. It makes things so much easier.
Oh, yeah. When we meet the people who are willing to do that, symptom scorecard, what does that look like? So his blood sugar handling doesn't show up real high on here,
mm-hmm.
but we're seeing that there are just a few foods that he just needs to, and they're the obvious ones. It's not like it's, you know, unusual. Okay, exam findings. Let's see. Lab. There we go. Yeah, so the glucose, did he have an A1C done?
Let me see. I think it was 5.6 or he did. He did. I remember he did. 5.6 or something like that.
Which says the average is
around. Oh, no. It was 4.8.
Oh.
Yeah, so we didn't go into
this then. Right?
But we're not seeing the dip. I asked him to measure like four before he gets tired or dizzy or tired right before meal. So I asked him to take a measurement when he, you know, 3 to 4 hours after he eats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you measure it right before, I mean, sometimes if you catch it, they can start to come up because he's triggering gluconeogenesis from the liver. And then that's causing it to go high. So, you know, measuring it at those intervals will help you to determine that. Because sometimes you miss it completely because by the time the next meal rolls around, he's right ready to eat, that glucagon might have been secreted because it went too low, which created the gluconeogenesis, which means that the liver is going to just make more glucose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yes. And that usually is from the glycogen stores. So it might be that his glycogen stores get too low and now he doesn't have anything to make glucose with and he needs to eat. So I would be looking at that a little bit more carefully, but
okay.
4.8. Yeah, that is low. Now, so not athletic. Sometimes you get a poor, you get a lower than usual hemoglobin A1C in athletes because just because of the way they process. All right. So of this, so, you know, here's the most recent one. So high, a little bit high sodium, adrenal stuff, a little bit low calcium. So, you know, maybe the calcium would be helpful for mitigating the effects of the oxalates.
The bilirubin.
So he's got like Guillain-Barré's disease and it's a little higher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is just some sluggishness in liver detox, like getting rid of the bile. So he's getting a bit of buildup there. That's a genetic condition usually. Mm-hmm. Looks like he's improved on his liver enzymes. Yes. He's improved on his cholesterol, so that's good. Has improved on his LDL and his HDL triglyceride. Those ratios are fine. I mean, they're just, they're fine. TSH looks fine. Free T3 is, then that can contribute
a bit low. Right? Yeah.
So gut stuff can create that inability to convert. He may benefit from some selenium to help it, but stress also decreases ability. So that can contribute to some of the low energy.
Okay.
You'll get him doing heart math. He does meditation, but maybe, you know, there's a lot of people who do meditation are still stress bunnies the rest of the day. They meditate in the morning, they meditate at night or whatever, but during the day, so teaching them tapping, heart math, whatever else he'll do.
Okay.
His hemoglobin's a little on the high side. That could be dehydration. It's not high enough for me to say, let's look for, you know, hemochromatosis or something like that, but oftentimes it does relate. Hematocrit's on the, it's kind of normal. MCV is high, so even though the methylmalonate was there, there could be folate. Remember, we saw that the folate numbers were a little bit off. So it may be that he needs some more folate. Again, being careful because you don't know his MTHFR status.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, oops, some of that going on. Eosinophils, a little high, so there is definitely some sort of allergic response going on here.
Okay.
Basophils are a little high, and it could be a parasitic thing. A1C, 4.8.
Yeah, 4.8, yeah.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. He could be better, so look at what he's taking and then just titrate it up a bit. And what was the other one? Cortisol serum, useless. Sed rate, good. Yeah,
that's it.
Okay, does that help? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And if you don't mind looking at the supplements tab, what I have him on.
Okay, supplements. Okay, cup supplements current. Oh, I don't see anything.
Left.
Huh?
One more tap to the left.
Of these. Okay.
Yes, those, yeah.
So he's taking all this stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So he's got a probiotic. You're working him up. When did he start the activated charcoal? Haldiarco, B12. It doesn't say how much or what type.
He was taking that. That was before we worked together. So
you might have him look at adenosyl because he had some mitochondrial stuff, and adenosyl will feed into the mitochondria. You can get liquid. Okay. You can get lozenges. I've had some really good results with people with that. Definitely. Bifidus brevi. So he's doing two pumps on each cheek. Is that?
Yeah. So he finished it.
He finished it
in July.
I mean, his indication that he still needs it. So I would put him
okay.
on it. Okay. And he didn't get any diarrhea from the Modal Pro?
No, it actually runs pretty. His digestion was pretty good.
Good. Okay.
For,
good.
Yeah.
All right. Intestinal drawing to try to pull some of that toxicity out. Anti-candida, you got olive leaf, cinnamon. So this was after you got the oat test done?
Yes, correct, yes.
All right, so we don't know if it's working, so we haven't, you know, looked back. Mm-hmm. So these are good things. He's got the pure encapsulation, one a day with food. Look to see how much B6 is in that, but
okay.
You want to add a little extra B6. There's probably some B6 in the Modal Pro, too.
Okay.
Glutagenics. You just added the glutagenics, zinc carnosine. I mean, you've got them on a really good, this is very good, very good protocol. The only thing I would add would be the C and
okay.
the B6.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And those can make a difference. And then talk to them about the oxalate foods and just try a 2-week decrease in the oxalates.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't do it too fast, and then see if you can keep them off for like a couple of weeks. Usually you'll know. And then he can start adding the medium oxalates back. So I go to a really low oxalate. So gradually move them towards, in 2 weeks, a really low oxalate diet. It's not fun, but give it a try for a couple of weeks at the low, and then just start adding little by little, see if it makes a difference.
Okay. And do you recommend adrenal testing, like Dutch test?
Yes. And he's got to get the lifestyle pieces, right? He's got to get the stress levels down, right? It got aggravated when his dad died, right? Clearly, that's a stressful situation. We're not going to take away and say, well, you shouldn't have gotten stressed out because your dad, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to change, but time will heal that. But if you introduce the ideas of doing the heart math throughout the day, if he meditates already, that's not going to be a big deal. You just remind him that your levels of stress, do a great job in the morning or whenever he meditates, and then it builds up. And we want to constantly be bringing it down,
constantly down
to take some of the strain off and getting out of the mold situation. So I wouldn't waste his money on a bunch of stuff that's going to change when you change that environment.
Okay.
right? I don't think you're going to get a magic answer by doing a Dutch test. I really see that you've got, he's exceeded his bucket. And whenever he exceeds his bucket, the stress, the mold, the oxalates perhaps, and all of that's adding together. The dental fillings, right? It's all these little things that when you put them all together, throw them over the edge.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You're doing a great job with him. So really pat yourself on the back. I mean, here, but just really support him in understanding, right? You're doing great. Bring his stress level down about this. He's going to run around to all these doctors. They're going to give him answers. Think getting him off that. If his, you can get his doctor to get him off of the blood pressure medication, right? I think that's going to be, so go to drugs.com, you know, a reputable site, the online physician's desk reference PDR, and just give him some stuff that he can take to his doctor and say, look, can we, am I at risk if I, we know he's not really, seriously, because mitral valve prolapse, people live with, you know, for their whole life without taking blood pressure medication, but it's something he learned in school and he's going to do it because he's CYA. Right?
Okay.
He can't get in trouble if he does that with the patient. But if he doesn't do it, he can get in trouble for not doing standard medical stuff. And that's just my opinion about it. And I think a lot of docs who are conservative do the CYA approach, and it's at the expense of the person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just explain it to him, you know, and we want to just explain the concept of the bucket. I don't know if you've explained that yet to him. Right.
I did. We did not the way you did, but we did explain, you know, it's just all these things add up and your body is not able to handle all.
Sometimes people do well. You take the little bucket and you go, okay, here's the stuff that you have dental fillings. You've had these for a long time. No big deal. Right. Now you're going to add on the antibiotics once a year. And now you're going to add on the mold, right? And now you're running around right here, right? And every stress that you do, it might be a bite of gluten. It might be your father dying. It might be some other, an accident. It might be traveling in an airplane, but you're running around with your bucket up to here. Mm-hmm. And every little stress is going to throw you over the edge, which is why he's doing this. He's doing the roller coaster. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Explain it graphically. Doesn't that make sense if I show that to you? Hey, Isabel, you're running around right here, right? Yeah. Don't add anything to this bucket or you're going to overflow. Make sense?
It does, yeah.
Good.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You're doing great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Super. All right, so I am going to close Isabel's. I don't have to save it. Okay, and I'm going to share screen again, and I'm going to grab this one. And then I'm just going to close yours so I can not get confused when I start to look at Sharon. So, Sharon, you're up. You should have no problem telling us because this, I think, is yours. So let's, you know, tell me, she's 5'4", female, tell me about what's going on for you. So 5'4", 168 pounds, married. How would you rate your stress level on a 0 to 10 scale? Okay, unmute. There we go. I got you.
Okay. Okay.
What's your stress level on a 0 to 10 scale?
15.
Okay. Okay. I was expecting you to say 12, so 15 is even higher than I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go through this. Hashimoto's, not taking any meds, right? Weight gain and fatigue. Tell us about that. How long ago were you diagnosed and what are some of the meds? Were you ever on meds?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I was diagnosed in my mid-30s with Hashimoto's. I've been on Synthroid, Lovoxil. I've been on a compounded T3, T4, and most recently on Armour Thyroid.
Okay. And so when did you go off?
I went off of Armour Thyroid a little over a year ago.
Okay. And what about the compounded? That was previous to the...
Right. Everything else was previous. Right. Okay. Right.
Okay. And what would you say is the biggest thing you noticed since going off of it? And what was your rationale for going off of it?
Primarily, it was the fact that I don't have insurance and it was expensive for me to continue doing it. And I started really trying to to find out what the actual cause was instead of just taking the medication. So, you know, really digging into what really caused it in the first place. And
did you start to gain weight, and did your fatigue get worse after you stopped it?
No. I know that the weight gain, well, you know, my ideal weight is, you know, somewhere around 140, 145. And so this has just been sort of creeping up with the added stress that I've been under for decades. But most recently, I've gained about 5 pounds. And I end up having to take a nap in the afternoon before I go to work.
Mm.
And
how has that been when you say most recently?
Well, probably within the last 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
Within the last 3 to 4 months. So, you know, we're living with my mom now. I'm at my husband and my son and I are living with my 93-year-old mother. And
she's been sick, right?
She's okay. I mean, she's starting to have beginning signs of dementia, and she's been in and out of the hospital, lots of falls. Mm. So she really can't live by herself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband most recently had surgery for detached retina, so that's been stressful.
Right, right. Okay. And so it looks like, you know, typical bottle-fed baby, lots of colds and infections. I'm assuming you were probably on antibiotics a fair amount.
Probably. I mean, when I was a young child, I had a lot of colds and allergies and ended up having my tonsils taken out. And
you had a hernia.
I did. When I was very young, I had a hernia.
And then a tonsillectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom teeth. So a lot mm-hmm. of interventions, meaning a lot of medications and interventions and antibiotics and in and out of hospitals. So, again, your stress bucket, right?
Right.
Your stress right. bucket is getting full. But fortunately, you liked a lot of recipes, a lot of vegetables, so you started doing that.
Yeah. Started making smoothies early on with, you know, with Adele Davis's work. And I never really knew that gluten was such a big issue until I started studying with you, and gave it up. And then the stress has sort of, it's gotten me back to sneaking and eating things I'm not supposed to be eating. And
okay. All right, so let me ask you a couple of questions, right? Mm-hmm. Since I have you here, and it's not like Isabel where she has to go back and ask. I know stress creates stress eating.
Yep.
And how willing are you to make that commitment to getting off gluten? Because with Hashimoto's and gluten, I mean, it's an autoimmune condition, and it's a leaky gut, and it's gluten cross-reacts with thyroid, right? And you've got antibodies. So is it something you're willing to do? Because we don't have a magic bullet,
right? Yeah.
And where are you in your frustration and overwhelm with this condition that you want to?
Well, I'm over it. I really want to. I want to be done with it, and I want to feel better. So I don't feel well with the weight, mm-hmm. and I was doing well with you know without gluten. I mean, when I went to Shine was really when I had first started, you know, taking it out of my diet and being more careful. And then just within the last, I'd say the last 3 to 4 months, it's snuck back in again. And it's all over the house. So it's really hard. I need to come up with something else that I can have readily available for when I'm feeling other than cashews, because I've been eating way too many cashews.
Yeah. Well, do you have a dehydrator?
I just got one.
Yay. Okay. There you go. Bread.
Just got one.
You have access to my driving on to heavy access books, right?
Yeah.
So start to make yourself some breads and crackers that are 75% veggie.
Okay.
25% nut seed. That way you still get the great crunch and you get lots of veggies in there. And you can have that as your go-to and the reach for, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Healing the emotional eating and all that. That's super important. But right, you know, first I like to swap out because the emotional eating is a lot harder than giving up gluten or having something to substitute. So it's that crunch or that softness, whatever that texture is you're looking for.
Right.
You want to look for something that's going to replicate that. Yes. Stage two is let's work on the emotional eating. But right now, you got to get the stressors off this thyroid gland, right?
Yeah.
Continue to gain weight. You're going to get more and more tired. And it's dangerous, right, to have your thyroid being destroyed.
Well, the other thing is that I have two nodules, and I've had ultrasounds done, and I do have difficulty swallowing. And there's times when I'm under stress that I feel it in my throat. I can feel the pressure. It's like somebody's got their thumb on my throat.
Yep. Have you ever done a fast or a juice cleanse or just a smoothie cleanse or some sort of very restrictive vegetable only type of a regime or water for a length of time to try to just at least give you that jump start, that break?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm willing to.
Good. So you're willing to. And these are questions you can ask your clients because I want to make this really helpful for everybody. These are kind of questions, you know, you're sitting there with somebody like Sharon and she's telling you all this and you're going, well, get off the freaking gluten and get off. You know what I mean? Like, just let's get you going. And it's really not as simple as that because you got to get into their emotional space and work with them and start to give them substitutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
They break in there. And then you work on the emotions and you work on what's most important to you. So not having trouble swallowing, that's creating even more of a symptom that's urgent than is the extra weight or the fatigue, right? The extra weight, you'll live with it. You get bigger clothes. The fatigue, I mean, this is the rationalization. The fatigue, you go take a nap. But when you have difficulty swallowing, that can impact your quality of life very quickly and very dramatically.
I mean, even sometimes smoothies, I feel like it's slow going down.
Right? So you need to work. You need to make a commitment, and I would make at least a 30-day. I know it's sweet spot. You even have trouble doing the 30-day metabolic reset.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this, a 30-day, you can do a metabolic reset at the same time as a detox. And you can start to heal your leaky gut because you have to heal the leaky gut in order to get rid of an autoimmune disease, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you decide, you know, maybe you'll do a day or two of water fasting if you can tolerate it. Maybe you'll do some, you know, I'd be careful with even green vegetable juice alone because it could shoot your sugars up. So watch it. Just test your sugars and see where is it going. And I would make sure that you have a plan for that. And if you need help, there's a number of people on this program. And I'm sure if we put it out there, like who wants to help Sharon design a 30-day cleanse, detox to help her do that? Type it into the chat. Hook up with somebody, right? Create your plan and have me look at it.
Okay.
You do that. I'm not going to write you up a plan. I hate writing plans. But, but I will look at your plan. Right? If you write it, I'll go, change that, do this. But tell me to sit down and write a plan. I hate it. Don't like it. So I like to have templates that I start with. Right? Sorry about that, but that's just what I hate writing menu plans for people. When they ask me for menu plans, I'm like, oh.
I know. Then you call me and ask me to do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. or Lynn. Or
yeah.
Anyway. So you need, your transformation is starting with a commitment and a commitment to love yourself enough to do this, right? And if you have to figure out the things to have around, but you know, a lot of times fasting takes that away or a cleanse takes that away because you got your rules. This is what I'm doing, right? And at least that works for me.
Okay.
That's it. I'm no chocolate for these 7 days. That's my biggest like, oh, but it's raw and it's organic and it's sweetened with lohan and it's got to be good for me. And then I'm like, I'll eat another piece and another piece. So if I go, I'm going to cleanse this week, no chocolate. I don't eat chocolate. I don't have a craving for it. So I want you to make that commitment.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Commitment to you to get this thing done, right? Because I don't, you know, sometimes we look at these cases and like with Isabel's, this guy was doing pretty well, but we had to really pick to find the things for him. Sometimes it's obvious and you're looking at somebody going, well, I know what to do to help you. But my biggest challenge with that person is getting the motivation and getting them committed, right?
Okay.
Your stress level isn't going to go down. Your husband isn't suddenly going to be a new person. And your mother is suddenly not going to be perfectly well and not need trips to the hospital. And, you know, she's 93.
Right.
Gratitude that she's still around to be with you. But that's not going to change. Only thing that can change is this, right? Are you doing heart math daily?
No.
Okay. Okay, there you go. So This is what a lot of the work that we do with our clients is. They know they're supposed to do this, but they don't, right? Mm-hmm. We bring people into our programs and we offer them some one-on-one coaching. It's because they can't just take the program, Sweet Spot, Grand, whatever, and just follow it unless they have that support. That's where we come in, right? Yes, helping with, you know, really looking at those complex cases, super important. And you're learning techniques for that. But for this, it's really a matter of doing what you know will work. And that has to be done as the base. And then looking and going, how far did I come? So if you've got some labs, I know you put a master tracker in. If you've got mm-hmm. those labs, you can look and say, here's where I'm at. I'm going to be really super clean and strict for the next month. And you can go back and look at numbers. I mean, thyroid numbers aren't going to change in a month. They can. Right. But 3 months, they certainly will.
Okay.
You go, wow, look, I have more energy. Oh, wow. You know, I lost 5 pounds. You'll know you're on the right track. And if you hit that plateau, right, that's when we start to really look more deeply. Like, okay, is it an oxalate issue? Is it this food allergy issue? Is it something unusual that we're not hitting with the foundations? But I'm such a big fan of those foundational pieces to start. And, you know, most people, 80% of people, that's it, right? Really committing them to the foundations. And then those other 20% is where we really need to use our detective skills and run an oat test like Isabel did. You don't need any more tests right now. Save your money. Don't even think about doing any more tests. Let's get you doing the basic stuff. And if the basic stuff doesn't work, then we'll spend your money on tests. Because I know the money is a financial hardship as well. And it is for a lot of our clients, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to pay for labs that they don't need. Yeah, getting a status of your thyroid, super important, right? Mm-hmm. The basics.
Right.
Is this making sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. You know, because you've had a lot of stress in your life. You're continuing to have stress in your life, and it's not going to go away.
Nope.
Right?
No,
so
it's not.
How are you going to manage it? You know about heart math. You can do some mini meditations. I can't meditate for 40 minutes. My husband will sit down and meditate for 30 to 40 minutes. I'm good for 12 on a good day, 3 on a day where I don't have time. But you know what? I'm grateful that I can do that and I can do it more frequently. We all have to meet it where we're at, right? I would, my mind, it's like I'd be doing 40 minutes of meditation and only like 3 minutes of that would have any calmness to it because my mind's here, my mind's there. So break it up.
And the same
do
way.
What is good for you? Don't force yourself to have to sit down and meditate for 45 minutes. No. Go for 10 minutes at a time. Do the mini heart maps throughout the day. Set your alarm so that every hour it goes off and you go, ah, great, done.
Okay.
But make sure you make it through the breath because I see people on Twitter, they'll go, okay, I'm going to do it. Okay. And let me tell you, no, wait, let's finish the breath. Let's do 2 breaths. Can we do 2 breaths? Because that way at least you'll get one that's full. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So do that. Set an alarm for it. You know, use the skill, the tools you know.
Okay.
Right? And getting hook up with somebody in the program who you think really can help you with, you know, some of the emotional commitment in that. Put it out there on the group. Who wants to buddy up with me? I'll support you because you're a good coach. I know you are. I've seen the kind of coaching that you do. I know you can do good coaching. You just can't coach your freaking self. You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
You can't. It just doesn't work. Right? But you can hold somebody else's hand. So reach out and see if there's somebody you can buddy up with that you can coach and support them and provide that accountability and they can do it with you.
Okay.
I wish I could reach out and do it for everybody in the program. I don't have enough hours in the day to sleep like right now just to support this community as a big. Can't do it. I'd love to, right? I'm pretty good at it, right? I'm pretty good at coaching people. I mean, I'm really good at the science part, but I'm also pretty good at coaching, right? And I'm pretty good at tuning in. You are too. So first of all, pat yourself on the back. Know that you are a good coach and that you need somebody else to support you. We all need some accountability.
Okay.
And find somebody. Just put it out there. You'll hook up with somebody and find it. Okay. Tons and tons. Ah, so you still have the breast implantations?
I do.
Yeah. So there's saline, which isn't as bad as the silicone.
No, no, no. The first ones were saline. The second were silicone.
Oh, that's another stress level, right? And it may be, may not be, that you'll get to a plateau and your thyroid antibodies will drop and they'll hit because of this stress, right? And down the road, you'll look at some of the research that's out there. You may consider getting them removed. Okay. I have a client who's doing, she's doing so much good stuff for herself, but she keeps hitting this plateau. And I said, you know, look at the breast implants. She started researching it. She read a doctor's book that I gave her. I can't remember the name of the book, but anyway, she looked at it and she goes, oh my God. She went, it's a kind of a holistic, she's getting them removed. And we're hoping that that takes stress level out of the bucket, right, from here and drops it down to here.
Right.
Right. Still doesn't mean that, oh, look, I have all that leeway. I can go eat gluten. No, we want to keep it as low as possible with Hashimoto's or any autoimmune. We're a little bitty, like the day-to-day stress of breathing the air in San Jose, right? That's going to give you this. No matter how pure everything else is, you're always going to have some sort of stress, right? And then you got your husband, mother stress, right? So your bucket is overflowing. You're not even close to the top. Your bucket is just overflowing. Right? You got to get it down, even if you get it down to here. Right?
Okay.
Maybe all these other things, the food stuff, the doing the heart math will bring it down enough that you've got some leeway. Right? You've got our Thyroid Revive and Thrive. You've got that little booklet. Mm-hmm. Look at them. You've got the access to whatever it is, module 14 or whatever, which is our thyroid. Just like study it.
Okay.
Study it. Study it. What is it in there that I can do for me that I'm not yet doing? I want you to come out of this really being good at this, right? A lot of times we teach what we've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go through this and you get yourself through it. And it's not just a matter of, oh, I was on the wrong supplements or oh, I just had to do this. There's more. There's this emotional and stress piece. And those are the people that you're going to need to help because there's a lot of people out there with Hashimoto's. And if you could get yourself in that place, you're going to be emotionally available and, you know, psyche and smarts available to help those other people because those are your people, right? We help the people that are most like us, right? Mm-hmm. We best help them because we can relate, okay? So okay. This is you. This is a wake-up call for you. And this is you. You don't want to be cooking for the monks for the rest of your life. You want to be coaching people. You want to be helping them with their health. Yeah, you want to maybe make some food for some people, right? But going and cooking for the monks who could care less about your healthy food and still want to eat their crap, it's not very fulfilling, right?
Right? No, I just lost the battle with milk in the house. So, it's an issue.
Right? You want to be working with people who want your help.
Yeah.
Right? You have to start with you. And you have to want your help. Okay, so really work with that. What do I want most? I know that you could be out there doing incredible work and helping an incredible number of people if you can get past this.
Okay.
I know you can. I know you can. You're very smart. But you have some disconnects sometimes, right, where you can't even concentrate because the brain
can't
go bad.
That's true.
Right? And then it's like, whoa, what happened to the Sharon I was talking to 2 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right? She was so smart. She had so many ideas. And now suddenly she's in this fog again. Mm-hmm. I want to see you consistent.
Okay.
There's people out there waiting for you.
Okay.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And again, I'm doing this with Sharon. She's in our program. I'm coaching her, but I want you guys to see this is some of what you're going to be coaching people on. Like, what is their brilliance? Right? What's their brilliance? And how are you going to help them to see that they have this brilliance and they have this thing and they get the motivation to let go of the bad habits and to really make it happen, right? The habits are critical, 80% of it. Yeah, we need to learn to read these labs because I want you to stand out amongst the crowd because there's a lot of health coaches out there that'll teach people what to eat, but they don't know how to fine tune it for their specific instances. And that's where I want you guys to shine.
Okay.
You can have no gallbladder. Holy, you know, it's a lot of stuff, right? Passed out while on the toilet. Holy cow.
I've had two syncopes. You can see I've had two. Yeah.
vasovagal syncope. What happens when your vagus nerve isn't working properly, right? So your vagus nerve is connected to your gut. You keep putting stuff in there that's aggravating your gut, that's causing your gut to be leaky, that's disconnecting your gut and your brain. And you're going to have some incidences like this.
Okay.
Okay. Did you find that any one of these worked better, Synthroid, Natrathroid?
No.
T3, T4, and Armor. So currently, the most recent was on Armor. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid to look at your numbers, but look at them. Because, right? So you couldn't work on that. You worked with the naturopath. So that must have been... okay. So you've done, SIBO. Do you still have symptoms of SIBO?
I have no idea.
Okay. Go into the digestive module, right? And go to the SIBO quiz and take the SIBO quiz.
Okay.
Right. Look at those symptoms. Right. And again, getting the vagus nerve working properly is going to help with the motility of your gut. Right. Okay. So the vagus nerve exercises are free. Right. Okay. Anything that's free, I want you to take advantage of. The heart nap, the meditation, the vagus nerve exercises, right? Swallowing, chewing every bite, doing some relaxation before you eat.
Okay.
Choosing to get rid of the foods that aren't serving you. This is all free, honey, right? Okay. You don't have to do any fancy supplements. Yes, supplements can be helpful, but let's just start with free.
Okay.
Get all that stuff under control and then see where you have to spend your money. In here, see if there's any tests, see if there's any extra supplements. But it's amazing how cleansing, I mean, for me, it was a 30-day water fast, and boy, I was a new person, right? Completely new person. I was in brain fog all the time. I was constantly hungry and eating and drinking too much and obsessive eating, and then gotta not eat anything but bagels for 3 or 4 days and then go back and do it again, back and forth. All that stuff went away after a 30-day water fast. Not telling you to do a 30-day water fast. I did it at a place. But okay. you can do fasting like diet. And look up online. I'm still in the process of looking at this, but it's fasting mimicking diet. And there's a plant-based fasting mimicking diet recommendation where 5 days a month you do this thing. And it's plant-based and it's low-cal and it's higher fat, specific combination of fat, carb, and it's something that might be helpful, but I would say that would be your maintenance. Let's get.
But then considering I don't have a gallbladder, fat is an issue.
Coconut, MCT, those kind of fats, the ones that you can tolerate. Lipase, bile salts.
Okay.
Okay. Because starches are just as bad as fats when you don't have a gallbladder, because you can't neutralize with the bicarbonate. Because the bicarbonate gets produced to neutralize the acidic bolus as it comes out of the stomach into the duodenum. Part of it's done with the pancreas. Part of it's done with your gallbladder. Your gallbladder is gone. Your pancreas is probably pretty weak, right? Because you've had all these blood sugar issues, is my guess.
Okay.
Sprout your food more. Germinate your food more. Because then you take your fats, which are big and have to be broken down, and you soak them. And you start to sprout your nuts and seeds, and then you make them into ferments, right? You make them into a yogurt, or you make them into a nut milk, like a kefir type thing. So all your fatty foods, you can just make them much more digestible by giving your body the breakdown products.
Right. So I've been making cashew cheese.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing fermented cashew cheese or just good? And look at varying, because cashews tend to be a higher carb type of a nut. Right? They tend to maybe have more mold than other things. So vary it a little bit.
Okay.
I'll do coconut, cashew, hemp. That's one of my more recent favorite ones, right? Okay. So you get a variety of those things, but always when you're fermenting them, it's going to make it easier on your gallbladder.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is this helpful for anybody besides Sharon? Yeah? Yeah. And it's being creative when you're working with somebody, right? I know Sharon, I've known Sharon for the last, year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard, I've seen you posting. So I kind of have a little sense of this, but I see that, just about everything I tried, some with more success has slipped away due to extreme stress and current living suggestions. So you know what that's called? And I'm just going to be blunt with you. You're not going to be blunt like this with your clients. That's called an excuse.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Right? The stress, it's because you're not committed enough to the outcome, right? You're not committed to the outcome as much as you are to managing that stress in the moment. I got to get rid of that pain. And I understand it totally, right? The pain gets so bad in the moment. The stress gets so bad that you just want to shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
Do it by reaching for food. Okay? So you can start before you decide that you're going to do this 30-day plan and you have it all laid out. You're going to start with substitutions. Pull out that dehydrator that you just got. Make yourself a bunch of crackers and breads out of mostly
vegetables.
Mostly vegetables, soaked and sprouted nuts or seeds to make it easier on your digestive tract. Even okay. Fermented, right? You can take a cashew cheese and mix it with the vegetables and make it into a fermented cracker. Right? Okay. All of these are creative ways to get what your body needs and have that crunch. And then you're going to work on, okay, what else can I reach for instead of food? But that's stage two.
Okay.
Okay? So no more stuff. You have to have what Susan Pierce Thompson calls bright lines. Some things you're allowed, some things you're not. And I've been living that way. I met her a couple of years ago and I went, oh, that describes what I do. Bright lines. I have bright lines. I don't eat this. I don't eat this. I don't eat this. I don't eat that. Right? Absolutely don't eat it. I don't have any bright lines about chocolate because, oh, it's, you know, but, and I can't do quantity bright lines. She does quantity. You can have this much of this, this much of this. No, not for me. It's all or nothing. You have to know yourself. What's your lines, right? I have to eliminate, and I don't have any trouble eliminating it anymore because it's a real easy bright line. I don't eat meat. I don't eat hydrogenated oils. I don't eat any, right now I don't even eat grains, although that's not such a bright line. I'll occasionally have a bite of quinoa. But beans the same thing. I'll occasionally have a bite of lentils, but I don't crave them. They're not anything, but it's just, it's around and I might have it, but that's like once every 2-3 months. Have your bright lines. Make a list.
Okay.
I will not eat this. That's it. Done. No matter what the circumstance, I will not eat this. And then if you binge on your broccoli crackers one day, at least you're binging on something healthy.
Okay.
That's not going to rip your gut up.
Does this make sense? Healthy? Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a bright line about eating nuts. I eat nuts, but I don't snack on nuts. I have a bright line about snacking too. So I only eat twice or three times a day and I don't eat nuts in between. If I'm occasionally, I'm out and I have sunflower seeds and it's the only thing around and I have to munch on my sunflower seeds and I know I'm not going to get dinner for a few hours, but figure that out. You have to figure out what are the things that are your triggers? Like what are your trigger foods? So cashews, anything. So you're not allowed to eat cashews. You're allowed to make cashew yogurt, right?
Okay.
But you're not allowed to just eat cashews because the cashews are high glycemic, higher, not really high, but higher than say an almond. And they may have some molds on them. But they're also tough on your gallbladder.
Okay.
Okay. So, but you're allowed to eat fermented or you're allowed to make a nice, you know, nut dip that you eat with a bunch of veggies.
Okay.
Right. So mm-hmm. Make your rules. And I'm telling you some of my rules, but make your rules that are for you and then make a commitment to be with those rules. Does
okay.
That make sense?
Yep.
And that's something people, I'm shocked at it. I was shocked when Susan Pierce Thompson started her program and she see all these addictive eaters. And how did I even do that? If they're eating addictively and suddenly she tells them no flour, no sugar, ever, right? 3 meals a day only, right? And these are people who are out of control, but they learn it because they have a very strict line in the sand. It's like a little bit of cashews are okay. Yeah, really. A little bit of cashews, you're going to say, I'm only going to have 3. Probably not going to happen, right? You're going to go 3. Okay. I'll have 3 more. I'll go to back to 3 tomorrow. Right. So
yep.
These are all the things that you can do with yourself. So okay. The only thing I know you have problems with ginger and turmeric. So you have some weird food sensitivities, right? You're the one, or is that Sandy?
No, it's
Sandy that has trouble with that. Sorry. I confuse you because you're both active on the groups. 600 milligrams magnesium before bed, occasional ibuprofen. Okay. So, So I would say in terms of nutritional supplements, you hate swallowing pills. really look at the thyroid thing. I'm not going to give you all the answers right now because I want you to do some work with this. Look at the thyroid list and say, of these things that are listed here, which seems, of the adrenal support, what seems to be out of the stuff I already have? And do you know how to do the sway test or any kind of muscle, self-muscle test?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Which of these do you like? Spend an hour, take all your supplements and say, which of these do I need? Boom, you know, or back.
Okay.
And then just start to take the ones. Do it for a week, retest.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And then just really start to see and tune into what your body needs. You need to be nourished, right? And sometimes some of the cravings will go away when you get your body nourished.
Okay.
Make sense? So you can use the guidelines in those programs. Adrenal and thyroid are biggie for you. Blood sugar is big.
Mm-hmm.
So magnesium is great for the blood sugar. If you have chromium, test the chromium and start to. Mm-hmm. It's going to help to take the edge off those cravings.
I have the chromium polynicotinate, which is, yeah.
There you go. And make it easy on yourself. Don't make yourself take 20 of them. Start by adding one. Say, tomorrow I'm going to add one supplement. Right? Pick up the chromium. If your body says yes, I'd start with that.
Okay.
If you have selenium, pick it up because you probably have
that. I do.
Right?
I do have it.
Mm-hmm. So then one day you add this, the next day that. Don't make it so cumbersome that you're going to give up.
Okay.
Okay. And again, working with people when it's overdoing.
Okay.
So no dairy, gluten, eggs, canned fruit, gluten-free for over 9 months, slip back, a cup of coffee in the morning, organic unsweetened soy milk. Yeah. So I would be looking at the grains and the starches and cutting back on those because I know with the blood sugar, that's going to raise it. And sometimes it's just, you make that cut, you do it, and then it's suddenly easier because you've got it out of your system. And so you got some good habits. Okay. All right. You put this in the tracker? I don't want to look at it if you don't.
I don't know if I put, I don't know. Where are they, Lynn?
Yeah, I have it here. I have your tracker.
Okay. I don't know that they're in the tracker. I don't know where they are.
So I'm not looking at them if they're not. So just for all of you, if you give me labs from LabCorp or Quest.
The labs are in the tracker.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. So I know you gave me a tracker. So let me look at what your vitamin D and your A1C. Your vitamin D is 25. All right. Start with that. Vitamin D is going to help heal leaky gut. It's going to help with brain. It's going to help with depression. All that stuff.
Okay.
Start with that. If you're not taking any at all and you've got a 25, you're not so terrible. Some people start with, they're taking a little bit and they're at 8. Mm-hmm. Right. So I would just take 10,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your A1C 5.6. So you're at that border of, you know, where you would be diagnosed with insulin resistance in the medical system. We like to keep it at 5. This is an average of, does it show you the average one here? Yeah. So 114. All right, so that's that one. Let's see. You've got some genetics. Whee! I'm just going to do a quick glance to see if there's any ones that stand out. CYP2D6, I think, is related to some of the nutrients. The way you would look at this is to go to the nutrigenomics, which is on the Vibrant Living members site, and look at that. You got a whole bunch of 2D6s. So these are going to be important. This may actually be a medication one, so I need to look at that. 2C19 and SOD, so antioxidants. So I'm going to throw out one supplement that might be very helpful with Hashimoto's and an SOD like that, which and a glutathione a little bit, which would be the OxyCell from Apex. Okay, it's a topical glutathione SOD catalase with other antioxidants in it.
Okay.
Okay, it's been shown to be very helpful in helping to bring antibodies down with Hashimoto's. Okay, and you've got the genetic marker for it. NAT2 is definitely related to hydrocarbons, so gas fumes and charbroiled meat. The 2D 6, which you got a bunch of, and the 2E1. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do a quick look. I want you guys to get familiar with and print out on the, I wish I would have had this handy. Maybe I have it in my book. I got to print these out. I have them printed out. I just have to keep it handy. But if I go to my Vibrant Living site, right, you go to Vibrant Living Members. And I'm going to actually, you know what? I'm just going to open up the PDF that I know where it is. And then it'll be in that same window so it's shared. So give me a second. I'm going to go to Programs. And INE, it might be in the nutrigenomics. I wonder if it's there. Let me see if I have a, it would be in the INE folder. And I'm just going to take in detox. Detoxification. If you go to the nutrigenomics on the VLM site and you go to part 2, there's those downloadables. Print them out and have them handy because it just helps you with learning more about how to do this. And I can't wait to do our module on that. I may actually do one of those live. Digestion, genetics here. Detox interpretation. Is this a, can't tell if it's a PDF or a, okay, it is. Convert to a PDF. I'm going to just convert it to a PDF because I don't see the PDF here. And all right. Give me a second. And then I can open it. And then, yeah, I'm going to type in. And methylation. Where's my methylation? Holistics guide. Methylation interpretation. There we go. That's already a PDF. Okay. So you see what came up here. That's the methylation one. Let me open file, open, INE, and detoxification. Where did it go? It's probably still doing it. Give me a second. I'm curious. Let me just do this really quick. Open. And I'm going to keep these on my desktop so I don't lose them all the time. Dropbox. Client folders. Programs. And it would be under INE. INE, and we're going to go here we go. Okay, so you should see this. So we're looking up the 2D6. I wish I could memorize these, I just don't have it all memorized. So this is probably not really impacting you, the 2C19, because you're not on Coumadin.
No.
Okay. But the 2D6 is responsible for a bunch of different medications, which you're not on any medications right now. Okay. So that's not a big one. And the 2E2. So this one, you know, if you drink, you don't drink wine or anything, right?
Sometimes.
You do. Okay. I would say not a good idea, given your genetics. Okay. Acetone, so if you polish your nails and
nope,
good. Looking to see anything else. Nitrosamines, that would be, you wouldn't need that, like in those processed meats and stuff.
Nope.
No. Mm-hmm. Cigarette smoke, so secondhand smoke. Do any of your family members smoke?
No.
Okay. So I would say, you know, I would stay away from the wine.
Okay.
Right? And that's going to raise your blood sugar anyway. Okay? So that's the basic stuff on your genetic report. Let's just go back.
We also have MTHFR.
Let's look at that.
SNPs.
So do I. Very good company. Here it comes to you. Okay, so this is going to affect breast cancer risk and dopamine levels and serotonin levels because of the way that it processes there. VDR, so you're probably going to need higher levels. I think 10,000 might be a good place to start and probably continue.
10,000 and what?
Of the D. This is VDR, okay. That's related to D. So you have vitamin D receptor issues. Okay. MTHFR, you've got, do you have both of them? MTHFR, yeah, so you've got what I have, which is the heterozygous double. And so B12, but you know what? It depends on how things are going. B12 and folate. My, I eat so many leafy greens, and as long as you're eating lots of leafy greens, you may or may not need a supplement here.
Okay.
Right. And you want to be careful of methyl supplements because it could cause you to get agitated and irritated and depressed because of this up here, this COMT.
Okay.
It can cause a backup. So I wouldn't necessarily, you don't have any MTR, so that's your B12, but they're homozygous. Yeah, I mean, you've got this as well. You've got the BHMT. Betaine, no milk, no dairy. You're not going to process.
I don't do that. Okay, I don't do that.
BHMT, betaine, like maybe HCL type of thing, might be helpful. Mm-hmm. So look at stomach acid. And then CBS has to do with the sulfur metabolism, which, you know, going back to the glutathione SOD. So I would definitely recommend that you look at the Apex OxyCell.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is when, how long ago did you get this taken? 17. Okay. So this is,
March.
A few months ago. Great. Okay, good. So, yeah, so high in the morning, low in the mid-afternoon, low, 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 right? So you're kind of a stage 2 adrenal fatigue here. And it's a matter of why are you so high in the morning, because the rest of it looks like a stage 3. So is it because your blood sugar is going plummeting at night, plummeting during the day, and you're shooting up the cortisol to get it up? So there's a number of things like that. What are you doing during the night? Do you have a stressful night? Does somebody keep you awake in the middle of the night? Are you afraid to fall asleep in the night?
No, you know? I sleep pretty well.
You sleep pretty well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So looking at this, you could support your adrenals. Look at the elixirs. Look at the adrenal elixirs and look in the adrenal booklet for what's really good. I would look at stage 3 herbs for here. Not too close to bedtime, but, you know, like noon and mid-afternoon. What are some of those stage 3 herbs that you can mix into an elixir to help you with that energy? Because you said you fall asleep in the middle of the afternoon. You need a nap, right? So helping you to support that. And this level, the high level of cortisol is going to impact your receptors, your thyroid receptors. The low level of cortisol is going to impact your thyroid receptors. You don't have any time of day that you have normal levels of cortisol. You're either high or low, right? So I would be looking at, you know, maybe introducing some of those herbs in elixir form since you hate to swallow pills.
Okay.
Okay. You can also do tinctures, but I'd be looking at the stage 3 ones.
Okay.
Wouldn't worry so much about that at this point, except for wake up and do heart math.
Okay.
Okay. Because you don't want to take anything that's going to cause it to go down because you're already going way down. Mm-hmm. Your DHEA is... Where is it? 5.4. So it's low. It definitely is low. So I would say stage 2. So look up all the stuff for stage 2. Your estradiol is 0.5. Did you get all 3 done or just the 2? Yeah, you can't do the estrogen quotient. Your estriol is less than 0.5. So estriol is your protective estrogen. Estriol is going to affect your vaginal dryness. It's going to affect iodine levels. So but you're low all across the board, and your adrenals can be zapping that. So I would support your adrenals. And, you know, at this point, I don't know that I would consider estrogen supplementation, but I would say, let's see, your your progesterone is actually, are you doing any progesterone?
Nope.
Interesting.
Not taking anything.
Your progesterone is actually higher than I would expect. Melatonin is on the low side, but you say you're not having trouble, so I wouldn't mess with it since I'm automatic. Your testosterone's okay. But why is your progesterone a little bit higher than, kind of interesting? I'd maybe look into some B6, vitamin B6. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure about that, but your estrogens are super low. Your DHEA is on the low side. Testosterone's okay. Cortisol's up and then way down. Why is progesterone looks like, you know, really good for a premenopausal woman, let alone post? I wonder about that one. Not getting anything in creams or exposures. Interesting. It's not a problem because it's protective.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not like, oh, let's get that progesterone down. I'm just curious why some of it isn't being diverted into the estrogen pathways.
Okay.
But I wouldn't mess with it because it looks pretty good. You could consider estriol in terms of a supplementation because you can get it over the counter. You can get vaginal suppositories of it, or you can get a topical cream of it. You might consider that because that can be helpful in just overall your overall sense of well-being, and it'll help with the iodine.
So what about that cream that came from Dr. Anna Kabeka?
That I think that has estriol in it. The Dulva?
I have that cream, whatever she was.
Give it a whirl.
Okay.
Give it a whirl and see.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And this was your thyroid, right? I want to move on to Drina's case too. Wait, this is yours. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just going to look here real quick. Yeah. See, look at your antibodies. They're way through the roof. We want to get these down. I've seen people drop them in 6 months. We've seen people drop them in dramatically in 6 months, like to zero. But it's a matter of really addressing all those stresses.
Okay.
Okay, so make a commitment to yourself that in 6 months you want to redo this.
Okay.
And you want to see this going down. Your TSH is high, so you're going to be tired, right? Your body's really struggling to get that. Your free T3 isn't that bad. I've seen people way worse. Your free T4 and free T3, you may not have a conversion issue. Because they're both a little on the low side. The T3 might be a little lower. So what I would recommend you do is if you go to your master tracker, let's see which one's yours. Is Sharon's or is this? That's Drina's. Okay. If you go to your master tracker, and I don't know what the dates are because I couldn't edit it. It wouldn't let me edit it because your dates are like those columns are too narrow, but I couldn't figure out how to let me. I think you have it protected. What's I going to look for? Okay.
It's not showing on the screen.
Oh, well, I got a switch. Give me a second. New share. Here we go. There you go. So you see how at the top here, the dates, they're numbered. That's usually because the column's too narrow. And it can change from computer to computer. So I was going to show you a different tab.
I didn't know how to play with it. So
you protected it somehow.
Oh, I did.
Unprotect. There we go.
Okay.
Do you have a password on it?
No.
What?
No.
You somehow put a password on it.
No, somehow. I mean, I don't know where I got that from. That form, maybe it had one on. I don't know.
It looks like it's an older one.
It could
be. Lynn, doesn't it look like it's an older one because of the colors? So yeah, if you go to the main master tracker, you can usually just copy paste these in, and it has the better formulas. But so I don't see the dates, but
well, they're at the top.
Yeah, I know, but the top. Yeah. See how it's. I can't edit it to move it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Vitamin D. Yes, it's come down. Your vitamin D's come down. So you probably were taking it before.
I was taking it. And it, historically, this at 25 is where I end up when I don't take it.
When you don't take it.
And in the past, I've taken 10,000 a day, and I've gotten it up to, like, you know, 62, 70-something. So,
okay. So 10 to 12,000 to get it up a little higher than the 62. If you want to get 75, 80, especially with Hashimoto's, it's better to get it closer to 100. So I'm looking at 3 here. Okay, so there's you don't have the Master Tracker. I'm going to use Drina's Master Tracker just to show you what I'm talking about. Drina, yeah. So if I go to, let me share, and this is Drina's. All right. So in this Master Tracker, if you go to right next to this TS Diagrammer tool, so tell me what your TSH is. It was like 11 point something, right?
No. Was it? I don't know.
Go back.
I don't have the test in front of me.
Yeah. So you
See, I've never seen this kind of. I've never seen that.
Yeah,
before.
It's in the Master Tracker, and if you go to resources, NEPT under there, there's the Master Tracker.
Okay. I must have an old one.
Yeah, you have an old one. It's okay, but it's close enough. So I'm gonna just look at what your thyroid. Yes. Yeah, so your TSH is 13.9. 13.9, 0.9, and 0.5. So if I go here, I'll get it at, well, I'm not going to save it anyway, but I'm going to just put it in Drina's. What did we say? 13.9? No. Now I forget already. 13.9, yeah. 13.9. So if I put 13.9 here, so the diagrammer, you find your number along this axis. So yours is 13.9, so it's in this range.
Okay.
13.9. And then we take 0.9 on your free T4, which is right here, 0.9. And then we take, was it 2.5? Yeah, 2.5 on your free T3, which goes around here. So we look at these numbers, and in terms of conversion, it's a slightly reduced conversion. T4, I like to see them all lined up. So the T4, T3 should be lined up. It's slightly lower, so your conversion is a little bit off, but not terribly. Sometimes we see people where their 4 is here and 3 is way down here. But this is way off. See?
Okay.
This should be lined up. So your thyroid is having to work really super hard to get these numbers. Right? They're still not terrible. Sometimes we see terrible numbers, but your thyroids, it's like your pituitary is going, come on, thyroid, come on, thyroid, come on, thyroid. So your thyroid still has a little bit of power to it because it's able to produce these levels. But it's just going to keep going down if you keep attacking it with those high levels of antibodies. This is the way you can explain it to people. It may look okay now because sometimes their T4, T3 look fine. But look at where your TSH is. Look how hard your pituitary is working to get that thyroid to do it. If you keep attacking it, it's just going to fail.
Okay.
Make sense? So you've got to stop the attack. The attack is coming from the stress levels, stress in your body. Maybe there's heavy metals as well, but certainly leaky gut, your external stresses, your gluten stresses, and whatever indiscretions on your diet. Those you have control over.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Is this?
I'm not going to die.
You're not going to die. You're going to take control.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right? You're going to take control because I really want to see you take control of this. Okay?
Thank you. You
can do it. We're all here for you, right? Everybody here for her? Yeah? Where's my chat? I don't chat anymore. Chat. Let's see if anybody's typing in. So type in if you're here for Sharon. I don't even know where it went. Okay, there it is. And Lynn's typing in. And Nanette says yes. And Lynn says yes. And Rena says yes. And Isabel says yes. So everybody's here for you. Just reach out. Okay? You've been a caretaker for a long time with mom and husband and son, right? You need to let everybody know you know, when you need help and start taking care of you.
Okay.
And we're all here for you.
Okay? Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. So I'm going to switch screens. Phew. Mm. This is becoming a marathon. Is everybody okay? That's why we only do two or three of these on a call, because it's, I can't just do it for me. It just is hard for me to do it in half an hour each, because I really want to give my support. So hopefully Drina's is really easy. Drina, are you going to help me here? Okay, unmute yourself, Drina. I'm going to close.
I should have had my laugh on when I was unmuted, because this can be a bit complex. And if you're really exhausted, we can move this to the next.
Honey, time. I'm not exhausted.
Okay.
I'm dry.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't get exhausted. So I'm here for you. I'm concerned that people are going like, you're on mountain time, right? Or East Coast, West Coast time. And so is Sharon, but Lynn and I are, Lynn's the one that's fallen out, because she gets up at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh.
No, I slept till 8 this morning. So for me, okay, so where are we going to start? We're going to start with this is Sharon's quest. We're going to look at that. This is Teresa Gage. Who's that?
Yeah, she's the one who I'm trying. I couldn't figure out how to black her out, and I did inform her that her name was going to be out there, and she said it was fine.
So it was okay. Good. The way that you would do that, just for grins, you need to either have Adobe, that paid version of Adobe Acrobat where you can make edits and then you can just blank it out, or yeah, you'd have to print it, use whiteout the old fashioned way, or a piece of tape, and then scan it.
Okay.
So those are two ways to do it. And yeah, really be careful that you've gotten somebody's permission.
Yeah, I contacted her, and there's some information that she ended up sending me today through email that were questions that I've been asking for a while now that are not on her health tracker, but I'll just kind of be able to inform you.
Tell us about her. Just let's you do the presentation. Looks like she's thin. She's a massage therapist. She's 64. So
yeah, she does that orthobotomy massage. She's got some pretty serious chief complaints. She was assessed by a naturopath as stage 3 kidney failure.
Oh.
But could not seem to recommend anything to help her at that time. She's totally lacking in energy. She has not slept for, she guesses, about 37 years.
Oh.
Like 2-hour cycles, maybe, are her maximum. Sometimes if she's fortunate, she might get 4 hours at a time. She has insulin resistance, totally lacking in energy, and she has a lot of anxiety. Now, her anxiety from my interview with her is very much based on childhood abuse.
Mm.
Her parents were both alcoholics. She was told that, you know, her mom accused her that the reason that her mom was crazy is because of herself.
Oh, God. On top of being abused, she's blamed for the abuse. Love
it. Right. Then abandoned by her dad through a divorce, became non-existent in her life. She constantly has feelings of dread. She feels like she's the mistake.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm sure she's been told a lot of these things. And I believe, you know, in the interview, her mom's pregnancy was, she was raised on white bread and sugar. And so I'm sure that she's a child born of that, and some of her genetic, you know, epigenetic stuff kind of shows up with her own gluten intolerance and things of that sort. In her life, she has had an embolism in one lung because of a broken leg. I think she had a blood clot from that. Basically bronchitis every year for 20 years. Pneumonia. every other year.
Bronchitis? Was she given nebulizers or antibiotics or what was she?
Antibiotics. Yes. Dentally, she had no dental work done until she was about 18. But at 18, she ended up with like 20 amalgam fillings. Then through the failing of the fillings, they ended up doing crowns. So she ended up with all these crowns. Now, when her wisdom teeth were pulled out at age 20, they left some roots, which became infected, causing her to be on high doses of antibiotics again. At that time, the dentist thought that that was why she wasn't sleeping, was, you know, that she had all these problems with her teeth was part of why she wasn't sleeping. So he recommended that she see a doctor for some medication. So she was on trazodone and temazepam for years trying to get her to sleep. That did not work. So she took the medication for 5 years with it not working.
Oh, she took it for five. She continued to take it for 5 years. They were crossing their fingers and hoping that it would suddenly work.
Yeah, you know, she's the type of person that she's trusting that whoever tells her to do something, that they're going to be at her best interest. And she's not, I don't think she's been her best advocate for sure, because she feels like she's a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. So she doesn't trust her own judgment about things, right? And she doesn't trust her deserving. Either.
Exactly.
That's a big piece when people don't feel they deserve, right?
Right. Well, and you, I mean, I can look into some more of her life, which has been, you know, married one time for 3 years to an alcoholic, now has been living with a person for 15 years who's noncommittal.
Yeah.
So another set of rejection,
right,
you know, with her emotions. Now, just recently, I've recommended that she see someone for splanchna, which is muscle testing for release of emotion.
Okay.
And so she is stepping into that weekly now and starting to get some emotional release, because I felt that a lot of this was emotional related as to why her blood numbers are what they are, why she has insulin resistance, no sleep, you know, has caused her to have high blood sugar.
Right.
Although I have to say that over the course of time, working with her since April, when we had her blood test ran in August, she actually had a fasting glucose of 82.
Yay.
Which is better than 92, which was in, you know, February. So, so there's,
I'm just going to step in and say, to her credit, please, she must be doing something right in the food department, because to have that little sleep for so long and to have her fasting at 92, I think that that's admirable. I mean, she's, you know, because I could see it easily being up in the, you know, really close to diabetic range because of the lack of sleep. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So she's, she sweats a lot, which to me is adrenals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has the high anxiety. She's totally dead dog in the morning, drags herself through the day, but then is, you know, awake at bedtime. It's like, she's almost like a baby who her clock is messed up.
Okay. And I have some ideas, so don't forget to tell you about some ideas to reset some of that.
Okay. We did a 401H test because of the, we just weren't seeing as much progress as what we'd like to. I mean, the blood sugar, yes, we've, you know, gotten under control with diet and chromium, digestive enzymes, but I didn't want to put her on anything with HCL in it until I knew that she wasn't H. pylori.
Right.
So when we had the 401H test done, she came back dominant Citrobacter brekkii.
Mm. Yep.
So I was in contact with Steph. She recommended that she go on D-lactate-free probiotics for 6 weeks straight, and then go on to a diversified back to the 5-day rotations and probiotic rich foods, which is what we were doing prior to Steph's recommendation, was 5-day rotations with Bifidobacter, because she had a genetic SNP of FUT2 for need of Bifidobacter, and we were rotating Saccharomyces until I did some more research on that and read that it probably wasn't very good for her kidney. Mm. Although her left kidney is showing all the yeast. Nothing in her right kidney, but her eye reading is showing her left kidney is just bright orange.
So when you say eye, so her iris, so somebody...
iridology reading.
Or do you have somebody else do that for you?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you do the iridology?
Yeah, I do the iridology.
Cool, great. All right, so yeast in the left kidney. Okay. Wow.
I was actually surprised she didn't come up with some yeast in any of this, but there wasn't anything in the stool anyway. But it was definitely showing in her kidney.
Does she get bloated after she eats? Does she have signs of SIBO?
No, she does not. Okay. And she doesn't, especially now that she's on enzymes.
Okay.
She was taking a super enzyme that did not have any HCL, but when her blood tests, when I put them in the tracker, they showed that she was like 200% need of digestive enzymes. Mm-hmm. So her super enzymes that had no HCL in them, I don't think are as productive because it was showing low protein. Mm-hmm. Yet she intakes a lot of hemp protein, you know, from nut sources also, and greens. And so she's still showing low protein. So I thought maybe the HCL might help her process better.
Also, so looking at the bitters, right? Bitters and zinc are the two things. And look at her alk-phos. We can look at that to see if her alk-phos is low. That would even more suggest the need for zinc. And zinc is so important for all of it. You know, it gets zapped by stress. And it's important for the gut. It's important for enzymes. It's important for this. I mean, it's important for everything. So I would say look at zinc and look at bitters. But you can also give her HCL. But I'm not a fan of just giving people HCL without also supporting their body to make more. So give HCL. Yes, that's a good Band-Aid. HCL is a Band-Aid. How do we get the body to make more? Go to the root cause, right? So, and it may be a matter of healing the stomach lining. The cells might be disrupted, you know, the demulcent type things to support that, but also the bitters and the HCL.
Yeah, I've not done bitters with her other than she is eating dandelion greens and things like that.
So have her do the dandelion greens. You don't have to do a tincture of bitters. So have her do a couple of leaves of the dandelion. And, you know, while she's preparing her meal, 10, 15 minutes before, she just chews it, but she doesn't swallow it right away. She just chews it until it's juiced in her mouth. Okay. And then let it sit there and absorb under the tongue to get into the system. As good or better than taking a bitters tincture.
Okay.
Because just eating it, it's not eating it in advance of the meal. Yes, it's helpful, of course. Bitters are going to be helpful no matter what. But in order to really stimulate the digestive tract to be ready for the food, get it to her the 15 minutes before.
Okay. Yeah, she'd be willing to do that.
Chew on it and make it human juicer.
She is taking zinc at 50 milligrams of the trace minerals liquid zinc. So she's doing that twice a day.
Okay, so that should be good on the zinc. So I'd look at the bitters then. That's going to help her.
Okay.
Magnesium I'd also look at too, because magnesium is important for making the HCL.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So are you doing anything that's an attack for the Citrobacter, or just looking at crowding it out with the probiotics?
Well, Steph suggested that just crowding it out because of the kidney. She said, you know, a lot of times there's herbal things that may not be so good for the kidney right now. So to try and crowd it out first.
Yeah.
And then see.
Go back and test it like 3-4 months and see. Right.
Yes.
And then if you also work on the upper GI at the same time with the bitters, you know,
okay,
that can be helpful to get that. I'm a big fan of crowding, you know, the peaceful approach versus the war approach.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, sometimes you need it. So especially with the 4+, right? If it's 2+, I'd say, yeah, crowding out's probably what you need. But with a 4+, you do want to make sure that you don't just assume the crowding out's working. Go back and test it at 3-4 months.
Okay.
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 Okay, so what else do we have on her? We have minerals, hair test.
Some of these tests are a little bit older, but, you know, they weren't something that was retested, and it, I haven't gotten, you know, that far to do a retest on something like this. Yeah. But I didn't know it.
They're working on the stomach acid, right, because it's going to help her with her minerals. I know zinc in the hair usually means low zinc. High zinc in the hair as well as calcium can be low, means it's low. And I'm not a big, I have to do major review before I really can off the top of my head do hair analysis. Because I just don't do it all that much. I think strontium high is definitely an indication that it's high. Okay. Magnesium looks good. Yes, I see high calcium inefficient. Low sodium, low potassium. On the low, you know, the low electrolytes is oftentimes that stress response, right? So the stress response is depleting the alkalizing minerals. Is she doing any stress relieving stuff? You've got her, I'm sure you've got her on some good stuff. Copper high, you know, with high copper, low zinc. Right. They're both high in the hair, but I think copper you read as high.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, Lynn, I don't know if you do more hair analysis, but high copper usually means there is high copper. So when you see high copper and zinc, you're usually seeing a copper dominance.
Okay.
Right. So being careful about that.
She's not taking a supplement of copper, although I do have her on some liquid minerals that do have copper in them, but they're pretty low on the list. But this was before I started working with her, so.
I've seen that sometimes, and there's some other things we can look at to see where the zinc is. Even though she's taking it, she may need a lot more because, right, you've got the low stomach acid. And in order to get the zinc in, you have to have good stomach acid. In order to make the stomach acid, you have to have zinc. So sometimes you have to just pass the threshold. And I've had people on as much as 90 to 100 for short periods of time to just push past that. So you might look at that. Do you have her? Let's see. Let me pull up your. I have your master tracker here. Lab results.
I thought I was thorough with the supplements, but I might have missed the zinc. But I'm looking in my paperwork right now, and I know I have her taking 50 milligrams 2 times a day.
50 milligrams, and that's a lot. That's 100. Let's just look at her Alk Phos.
Yeah. This is Lynn.
Yeah.
So one of the things that, cause I did a hair test and, one of the things to consider with that is with that, your copper and selenium and zinc and everything, is it might be showing some poor bioavailability, which is going to mean something to the elasticity, especially in things like, her bladder, her kidneys, how they all work together there. And one thing that I did, and I don't have it back yet, is ceruloplasmin. Mm-hmm. So, because then you're going to find more about your copper.
About your copper. So
right. And then I couldn't see it here. Do you know what her aluminum is?
I believe that... is something.
Aluminum, I don't.
There was, though, a.
Aluminum.
There you go. There should be aluminum up a little bit higher than that. Aluminum.
Good.
Whoops, I guess down lower.
Okay, where antimony? There's illuminating, not elevated.
Okay. So it's when you have lower levels of aluminum, because aluminum is so easily excreted, that could show actually some compromising going on.
That she's not actually excreting the...
Exactly.
Because all of her heavies are low, either not elevated or below detection limits. She has absolutely no sign of toxic elements. So it could be, you're saying that if the aluminum is low, because we have just so much of it in the environment, it could possibly mean, right? And if we look at her, I just had it here a minute ago. I'll show it to you. If we look at her new share, let's go here. Her alkphos is consistently low on the two that you have.
Yes.
Which can indicate the zinc is still low. So whenever you're giving them a fair amount, if you've been giving it to her for a while, if she's been taking it consistently for, you know, 2-3 months, and you're still seeing signs of low zinc, it could be the form. You know, it could be that she's not, you know, she's just not taking it in. Sometimes I'll just switch it. Even though you think that the liquid, the ionic should be done better, you can add a little bit of extra in terms of polynicotinate or picolinate, actually, sorry, for zinc picolinate. There's a zinc, what's the name of the zinc that's good for gut health?
L-carnosine, zinc L-carnosine.
Yep. You might just try playing around with the form. Right. And this is an easy test if you wanted to go back. Doing the whole hair analysis might be longer, but if you just kind of monitor her alkphos and like once a month just send her in to get her blood drawn and look at alkphos, it's like, you know, $10 or something to test it.
Okay.
That you can watch that.
Can I get something like that through Direct Labs or
Labs would have it. And they may have it as part of the electrolyte or liver panel probably.
Okay.
You may have to do the liver panel for $20, but either way, and she does have her globule. I think the liver panel might actually show globulin and protein. So maybe the liver panel would be a good thing to just keep monitoring for her. I believe it shows protein, albumin, globulin, alkaline phos, bilirubin, and AST, ALT, and GGTM sometimes. So those look okay. But the phos and the protein and the globulin is low. And then when the globulin's low, it's indication that she can't make enough immunoglobulins, right? So she can't, her immune system's going to be compromised.
Yes.
Right? And she's got, her cholesterol is really high. Her LDLs are high. Her triglycerides are low.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting pattern. HDLs are, you know, so you look at, if you were just purely look at insulin resistance as an HDL triglyceride, you go, oh, look at that. You know, she's got 2-to-1, but that triglycerides being low like that just suggests to me that, well, she's thin, so.
I think she's got fat malabsorption.
She's got fat malabsorption is what I'm thinking. Yeah. Yeah. You know, supporting her with a digestive enzyme that's higher in lipase, possibly looking at bile acids. I wouldn't go there first. I'd start with the lipase, but the bile acids could be helpful.
Are you thinking about like ox bile?
Ox bile, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or taurine. Well, let's talk about that. Taurine is a precursor to GABA. Taurine is a component of bile acids. So that might be a connection with the sleep and fat malabsorption.
Okay.
You might look at taurine as a possibility or magnesium taurate at bedtime. Does she do any magnesium? And she done a lot of the sleep hygiene and the sleep supplements and all that?
She's doing magnesium baths. At night with lavender, and taking magnesium along with phosphorylated serine.
Mm-hmm.
She did this herself. I did not put her on this, doing, glycine at nighttime if she wakes up?
Mm-hmm. If glycine works, that suggests to me blood sugar's going down too much because glycine will help to bring that up.
Is that going to help her sleep to bring her blood sugar up when she's already got high blood sugar?
Well, she may have.
But at nighttime, she resistance.
At night, she may have too much insulin and it's crashing. So I would, if you, next time you do a testing, look at the fasting insulin to see where it's at.
Well, her fasting is 82, and I'm having her do
insulin,
her
not blood. Not
I'm sorry.
Fasting insulin, because if her fasting insulin is high, then that fasting insulin while she sleeps being high is going to be yanking all the sugar out of her blood, right?
Yes.
And that could drop her sugar down, which could wake her up. She have trouble falling asleep as well as staying asleep, or is it mostly staying asleep?
Well, she does do deep breathing and meditation to get to sleep. Seems to fall asleep and is awake in about 2 hours.
Yeah. Then, have you done an adrenal test on her?
Yeah, I did. I haven't done like a cortisol thing. Only the blood pressure. I mean, she drops when she stands up from sitting with blood pressure. She can't hold a restricted pupil for more than 2 seconds.
Yeah. So there is, when you say she's doing phosphorylated serine, is she doing it at bedtime and then anytime she wakes up?
Yes.
Okay.
I have her started in the latter part of the afternoon. Okay. And then 2 hours before bed to kind of set her up.
Right.
And then anytime she wakes up.
Is she doing around 100 each time? Maybe 100 to 200 each time?
200, the one right before bed, and 100 every time she wakes up.
So it's good. You might look at also, because if her gut's compromised, you may want to look at the Adrenacom from Apex.
Okay.
Topical. But to look at magnesium taurate, or just add some taurine to it, the mix, because I'm thinking about both the combination of making of the bile and the sleep issues.
Okay. So either magnesium taurine itself.
You know, one or the other might work better than the other. You might also look at GABA itself. You'd have to do a liposomal GABA or one of the GABAs that are, you know, compounded with niacin that would help. I think Thorne has one. And yeah, I think Thorne has one.
Okay.
Some of the others have other garbage in them, so I don't really like them very much. I don't like the ones that add a lot of stearate.
And that's GABA combined with?
It's some special formulation of GABA that bypasses the blood-brain barrier.
Okay, and it's made by Thorne.
Yeah, and then there's, liposomal. You can get liposomal GABA, and I know that Quiksilver has it and Seeking Health has it. I like the quality of Seeking Health's better. I was very disappointed because everybody raved about Quiksilver, and I went, and without looking at the ingredients, I said, oh, I'm just going to order a bunch of them and, you know, try them out, all these liposomals, and I got them, and some of them have propylene glycol in them. Seriously? Like, come on, this is supposed to be high quality company, so I'm not going to use them.
Okay.
I stick to the, I like Seeking Health because they're very pure about their stuff, so.
Yes. She's on several supplements of Seeking Health. She definitely is taking the pantothenic acid, 1500 milligrams a day. I have her at 6,000 on vitamin C, splitting that 3 times a day at 2,000 each time for her adrenals.
Mm-hmm.
She is taking P5P. She definitely needs mitochondrial support. She has a lot of SNPs that have to do with brain behavioral disorders, OCD, conversion, serotonin, dopamine. Which could explain some of the anxiety.
Whoa, what happened here? Not genotypes, was it?
I don't know why this genetic genie, when I put her stuff in, came up this way.
That's weird. I've never seen that before.
it is very weird, but we do have a metabolic healing in there.
Okay. There's a functional health report. Here's genetics. Oh, there's your, oh, that's the one I opened up. Let's see what happens to the rest of it. Let me go back to your folder here. I might have missed it.
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you bet.
So when you were talking about the blood sugar, is that what, I mean, that's what I normally call that Down syndrome, where you have that blood sugar swing.
Oh, the Dawn, you know, the, yeah.
Yeah. Because I know that when I read about that, they do like you were suggesting.
Okay, so explain that. I'm not familiar.
I've just read a little bit about it, so I am not an expert. It's just that your blood sugar, it's like a hypoglycemic reaction, if I'm remembering correctly. And they say to have a little bit of fat or something before you go to bed.
A little fat?
Mm-hmm.
So what, I mean, with her not eating, shouldn't be eating before bed 3 hours, what do you suggest on fat, something like an EFA?
Well, she so what I've seen her recommend is like some coconut oil or, you know, just like a spoonful or something.
Right. Something that's not going to impact her insulin levels, right? Fat won't. Protein could. So some people say take almond butter, but the protein can actually get converted, you know, the branched chains can get converted to glucose. So I don't really like doing that. And plus, you know, there is some sugar in almond, you know, some carbohydrate. So I would say, yeah, some coconut oil could be a good thing. She just tried it. And see if it helps her to sleep better and see if it helps her in the morning. You know, we have these guidelines, right? And then we have reality. And we have to figure out what actually works for somebody. And, you know, then go from there. So, you know, clearly she's had a major stressful life.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, could be that she has these triggers from mom and dad fighting in the middle of the night, right? Dad being alcoholic, coming home drunk, beating her mom. I mean, there's so many possibilities, and that gets imprinted in the nervous system. And so working on those and working on getting that, like you said, she's going to somebody who's working on the muscle testing and the emotional stuff. I don't know if you've looked at Ewers, Keisha's book, right? Keisha Ewers. She has that whole book about, you know, the early childhood stuff. And she has some exercises in there and some resources for things people can do to help to let go of those things, you know, between forgiveness. And there's a lot there. And you could just say forgiveness and, oh, yeah, I forgive them. But you know what? That's a really hard thing to forgive at that deep level. And there needs to be some other, maybe it's hypnosis, maybe it's EFT. There's so many things that somebody can't do on their own. And even, you know, Keisha says, she says, look, there's a lot of stuff in here, but some people it's really severe and you need a practitioner to be able to guide you through it. But there are some things they can do on their own in terms of those daily practices. And that's what had her turn her autoimmune around. So might look into that as a resource for her.
Okay.
I'm having trouble getting the darn, let me see if I can do this again.
And the other question I had was, what do you think about using something like an ionic mineral, like a trace mineral or something, when they're not, when it appears like what Drina is talking about, when they're not showing the absorption of the minerals?
Yeah, well, she's already using an ionic, and that's what my concern was. She was already using the trace minerals at 100 a day.
Oh, just of the zinc.
Of the zinc, right. So, and plus you had her on a multi-mineral as well.
Yeah, I've got her on fulvic and humic minerals.
Okay, so she's getting a lot of those minerals in a form we would think intellectually, right? That she should be absorbing. That's why I said we'll start playing with it, right? What else might...
And is she taking salt? Because if she's having those adrenal...
That's a good point.
Responses.
That's in the morning, right? That,
yes.
Ramstein recommends up to a teaspoon.
I'm having her put a quarter of a teaspoon in every bottle of water through the day.
Okay.
So this is something I was just reading about, that you should put in as much salt as until it starts to taste kind of salty. So you're getting that saline, you know, not so bad that you're not going to drink it, but I mean, just enough so you start to taste the salt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everybody's so a little different, right?
Some people can
have that quarter teaspoon and go, and somebody else could have 4 teaspoons and it's.
Right. It's always working to that tolerance, and there's for different nutrients and.
Right.
And approaches like bowel tolerance for magnesium and vitamin C. Maybe that 6,000 is not enough for her, and maybe you can start upping that as well. Right. So we have guidelines I always think about guidelines as a starting point. Sometimes I don't start at that starting point. I start with a pinch and I work it up with people because of the sensitivities. But I think it's really a starting point. And just because she's taking 100 of zinc, you go, well, either it's not enough and she needs more to bypass it, but 100 is a lot, or maybe it's not the right form. Right. So, and I think maybe looking at the carnosine, zinc carnosine, because it helps with the gut pieces and the bitters, which you haven't really been doing. She's been eating bitters, but not doing the 15 minutes before, and that can help. It just might be that she's not making enough HCl. Whoa, look at her FUT2s. Yeah. PEMT, so phospholipids are an issue, and that can have a big effect on her sleep, right? The ATG, I think, is related to leaky gut. I don't remember. I wish I could memorize all of these, but oh yeah, the degradation of cells, IBS and Crohn's. So she's got that tendency there. That's a big one. Let's see what else she has. You know, she doesn't have a terrible GAD profile. So GABA may or may not be an issue. She does have 4-3 heterozygouses. I find I'm like all red. I'm a total homozygous GAD, but I really have learned to manage it. You know, I could get that way, but I've learned to manage it. And a lot of that is like really getting her to do heart math on the hour, right? Okay, stop, breathe. Notice when she's in that mode, breathe it out. But also those underlying stressors really need to be addressed. COMTs, yes, so being careful with the methyl groups. Is she on any methyl Bs? Because that could increase the anxiety between the MAO and the COMTs. Too much methyl. Oops, you're muted. Unmute yourself. There you are. I got you.
Okay. We tested adeno and hydroxo, and she did not feel well on either one.
Okay.
She went on started on a low dose of active B12, which was methyl and adeno. Mm-hmm. And found that it really gained her a lot more energy and she felt a lot better on it.
Right. So you start with small doses. Again, you move to her tolerance. Okay. I start people, if they have this pattern, I always start them on some adeno or hydroxy. And then I will give them the drop dose, like really tiny drops of the liposomal methyl. Drop, a drop, a drop, a drop, and get to that point where, you know, they get the increase. I have people who don't have the COMT and they go on 5,000 of the methyl B12 and folate and they feel like phenomenal, and other people go on this little itty bit and they're just like basket cases. So just work with her on that.
Well, as we worked up, we ended up with the active 5,000, and that's where she seems to be best.
Good. Okay. See, so everybody's different, right? And so go with caution, but there you go. Right? That's totally not what you would expect, but that's the way hers works.
And there again, it could be that she's not absorbing all of it, you know, so.
Could be. Is it a liposomal or is it just an oral?
It's a sublingual from Seeking Health.
Yeah.
I was going to say that ATG,
yeah.
It stands for autophagy-related genes. Mm-hmm. It says characterized extensively in yeast, the set of approximately 20 evolutionarily conserved genes required for autophagy, which is the process of bulk degradation of cytoplasmic material. It takes place by the assembly of a double membrane vesicle, the autophagosome, which delivers cargo to the lysosome for recycling.
Mm-hmm. You know, trying to think through that, is that related to some of the kidney stuff?
Yeah, was that the, did you say yeast in the beginning?
ATG, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's characterized. This gene it's a part of that. And if you have, like you said, that degradation of the cytoplasmic material.
Mm-hmm. 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 Her self-growth seems pretty okay. SOD, you know, so antioxidant support. SOD is a tough one because any of the sources, the food sources, are all usually based on wheat sprouts.
Manganese.
Yeah, and a manganese, and manganese is related to that pathway. ACHY, let's see.
I'll put the link for this in here, but it says autophagy is a highly conserved process that degrades cellular long-lived proteins and organelles. Accumulating evidence indicates that autophagy plays a critical role in kidney maintenance, diseases, and aging.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause an induction of autophagy in renal epithelial cells, modifying the course of various kidney diseases.
I wonder if, you know, thinking in terms of protection, right? What kind of protection can you provide for that? You know, in the gut, we look at demulsants. But a lot of times, you know, I think you might even look at, like, marshmallow tends to be protective in the kidney. And that's a demulcent, and that might be protective of those cells. I'm thinking of some other, like corn silk tends to have that protective effect in the kidney and bladder.
I have her drinking marshmallow tea.
Do you? Good, good.
Marshmallow root tea.
Yeah.
As part of her elixir. So.
That's good.
Yeah. Is that enough, or do you think it would be better to be a marshmallow powder? Marshmallow root.
If you're making it as a tea, like the leaves, you could try like what they call the gruel, when you take the marshmallow and you mix it with water and then you make it like a gruel, like an oatmeal, and you put cinnamon in it.
And you do that with the leaves, not the root?
You would do that with the root, but you would do it with like the concentrated powder versus,
okay.
So you having her get the roots and then boil them versus a powder, because a powder tends to just gum up better.
Okay.
So also Romania.
Romania is amazing. It's right for the kidneys. Mm-hmm. So is juniper. So those are, you might want to look at it to see if it really matches up with her. But juniper and Romania.
Juniper berries, yeah. I mentioned that to her, but so I think Steph had said it might be too much. But
was that through that herb doctor, kidney and bladder, had the juniper berry? Did it have Romani in it also, Lynn?
In that other document, no. Okay. I'm thinking more of my Chinese medicine stuff with the kidney yin.
You know, and Romani is really good as an adrenal, so you can get processed Romani pieces. You can put some boiling water on it. She can chew on it. She could just drink the tea from it. But the processed Romani root, the last time I tried to get it I think the one at Mountain Rose was the raw Romani. You need the processed Romani for the kidney.
Yeah. And asparagus root.
King herbs, I think. Asparagus root.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you have a Chinese pharmacy, there's something called Romania 6 or 6 flavor tea pills.
Don't have a Chinese pharmacy.
Jing herbs. What is it? Not Jing herbs. What's the name of that company that makes that spring dragon? Dragon herbs. Dragon herbs. Ron Tea Garden. And then there's the. There is Jing herbs. I think there is a
couple. Yeah, there are Jing herbs. Yep.
It has a lot of those formulas.
Okay.
So you don't necessarily have to have that Chinese medicine formula there, but if it's one of the patent formulas, then Jing Herbs would have it. You can just look it up. Let's look up Romania 6 online and see what you might have it. You might even be able
It's kind of a standard formulation in Chinese medicine, so that shouldn't be too hard to find. And so the foods it said which nurture the kidney yin are, let's see, string beans, mung bean sprouts and mung beans, kudzu.
Kudzu. Kudzu is a very good demulcent and it's a very good healer. And it's used a lot in macrobiotic healing.
Yep.
How do you spell that?
K-U-D-Z-U.
Yeah, okay. It's either that way or just KUZU.
You can use it and make like a gravy, like, you know, shiitake mushroom with
really nice thickener
gravy. If you get shiitake, whole shiitakes fresh, and then just add it, you know, make a gravy, blend them up, or you can get shiitake mushroom powder, dried shiitakes, you know, and reconstitute them and blend them up with some kudzu. It would make a nice, you know, really fun, like, you know, like gravy like mom used to make.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and it's got a very, and you know, shiitakes tend to be super immune boosting and anti-cancer and all that. And all this stuff, like really, when we're looking, we're always looking for root cause, right? So yeah, she's got some genetic stuff, but so much trauma, right? That has to be healed. And yeah, we have to heal the physical and the biochemical as a result of it, but we also have to keep, you know, working on that root, because otherwise it's like putting out the fire, you know, and lighting a match at the same time, and you don't get as far as you could. Yeah.
Well, and as you support the physical body, it allows that emotional body to know it's safe and it can release those things.
That's why we kind of, when I recognized her emotional stuff, but when she was like, I don't have emotional problems. I'm not hanging on to any of this. I don't have any issues with this. And I said, well, you know what? We'll go ahead and start with some supplements and we'll start with some lifestyle changes and we'll start with baths and how about castor oil packs on your liver and your kidney. And we'll try and do some detoxification things and increase detoxifying brassicas and things like that. But we'll just work on this. And when we don't see huge progress, then maybe we should think about the emotional. Well, all the way up until 2 weeks ago, she just kept telling me she has no emotional problems.
Yeah, she's let it go. She's released it all, right? And,
and
her conscious mind has, bless her, right? Her conscious mind is saying, okay, I know that this can affect me. I'm going to let it go. But her tissues are holding it. Her energy fields are holding it. And she doesn't really consciously have a way to control it. She needs to be able to get the support and help to go in and let it go. And so many people, when you're doing energy work, like when we were at Laura Fine's, people are like, oh yeah, they get on the table and suddenly they're this like bawling.
Yeah.
Right? Because suddenly all this stuff starts to release.
Yes.
Right. Because their brain knows what's going on and everything's okay.
Hold on to this.
But it's just like any other toxin, like any bacteria, virus, yeast, it's there. And you just observe and go, okay.
Yeah.
Unless you're like me, I laugh. My release is laughter. Seriously.
Yes.
That's a good release.
Yeah, well, made everybody else happy.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's why I sent her this lady with Splantna, and they have had a really good connection. So I really feel like she's maybe going to get some
great
release from that. And we're going to start to see her body heal and take her off of a lot of these
exactly
supplements, because she's actually going to be able to maintain.
And one thing, you know, if she is an intellectual, like she likes to read about this stuff to understand it, the two books I would recommend would be Childhood Disrupted and Keisha Errer's The Autoimmune Something, whatever it is, Autoimmune Cure Solution or something like that.
It's a puzzle.
Autoimmune puzzle. There you go. Right. And when she starts to read it and she goes, Oh, I see.
Like, yes.
And then these things that you do to release it on that deeper level, in the tissue level, right?
Yes.
You can release it up here, but the tissues, not necessarily.
Well, and I'm even having her do lymphatic brushing before she gets in the bath.
Great.
You know, just trying to, you know, give her some things that don't cost anything, but are, you know, really healthy for you.
Right. And until what kind of baths? Epsom salts? Or
Epsom and lavender.
Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in good hands. You've got a great approach. I really, you know, I love your dedication and I love how you're thinking, because you're really following through and learning all this great stuff. I mean, applying all this great stuff to her. So yeah, it's great. She's in good hands. And so it's just, you know, it's a matter of getting out of the way and allowing nature and the healer to actually do its thing with the raw materials that you're giving. So good job.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you. Do you want to look through her supplements and see if there's anything you would like to suggest in that?
That would be in the sheet, right? The
That should be supplements now.
Okay. And I just saw something come through from Sharon. She wants to edit. She is asking permission to edit the master tracker. So she needs to know you're not allowed to edit our master tracker. You can download your own copy. Give her permission to edit the master tracker. So yeah. Anyway, find it. No, we keep it at controlled for a reason, right? You go put your stuff in and nobody else can put theirs in.
Right.
So let's look at her soul. Her heart is in the right place. Okay, supplements current. Okay.
I'm not seeing what you're seeing.
Okay, let me switch. New share. Copy of Master Health Tracker. How's that? I'm seeing it now.
There we are.
So she's got she's working well with that one. Okay, that's great. 5,000 micrograms, that's great. Oh, so she's doing the active every day and then the adeno twice a week and the adroxy twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
5-HTP50 at noon and at bedtime. Has that helped at all with the sleep?
You know, it has definitely, if she does not eat things that raise her blood sugar, then the 5-HTP has been something recent, so you can see it's only been a few weeks that we've just started that. So I see her in another week to kind of go back over to see if any of these things are making some difference.
Have you been having her track her blood sugar and how it responds to foods? And has she done like a 30-day metabolic reset and kept out anything that raises it?
She is journaling everything. So when I go back through her journal every 3 weeks and we look to see what has raised her blood sugar. Most of the time, it's when she doesn't eat enough fats. So fats and greens are huge for her. Mm-hmm. And if she has fruit, if she eats enough fat, then she stays under the 110 starting out fasting at, you know, 80-285.
Right.
But if she gets to where she does not eat enough fat, then the next morning her fasting blood sugar will be high.
So again, there you go with the idea that Lynn had of maybe just trying some MCT or coconut oil at bedtime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, because she's already proving that she needs the fat. And she's thin, so she's not, you know, she's 5'6 and 115. So she can't afford to be, if she doesn't get enough calories, she's going to start breaking down muscle and, you know, turning it into glucose to keep herself going. And that's not a good thing.
Right.
All right. So digestive enzymes, Biogest, milk thistle, fulvic and humor. So you've got all that covered. You've got the FAs covered. Got the chromium covered, manganese, molybdenum. Wow, she is dedicated because she's taken all this stuff. Holy cow. The Saccharomyces, you know, just watch that.
Well, we've taken her off now because she's going on the D-lactic free.
Yeah.
She starts that tomorrow.
Okay, good. She's gonna.
And I will keep her off the Saccharomyces after that.
Okay. And the pantothenic, you've had her on that. So you've got her on this stuff. She hasn't been on anything that like for 5 years or anything. It's all this year.
No.
Got her on the mushroom powder. Yeah, that mushroom powder, maybe mix a little bit of the kudzu in it.
Okay.
It combines really well.
She loves that the sacred seven mushroom powder that has the turkey tail and reishi and cordyceps.
Does she take it in water or does she take it in food?
She puts it in her elixir with greens and.
Okay. Probably a little kudzu. Does it need hot water, Lynn, or is kudzu okay? I get confused between that and agar, which one needs hot and which one. I think kudzu is cold.
It doesn't matter, but it does dissolve better with the hot.
It does better with hot? Okay, so
that's my experience.
Okay. Agar needs hot. I thought one of them did better with cold, and I didn't. Okay. So if you have her maybe use the hot water for tea that she adds to the elixir, then she can add a little kudzu to that.
Okay.
And see if that just, it'll thicken it up, and it may provide a little bit of extra support there. That should be easy. Seeking Health, 5-MTHF. And she's okay with that. So she's okay with all these methylations in spite of the COMTs.
Yeah, you know, I didn't put her on the L5-MTHF until she had a.
Oops, you just muted yourself, hon.
Anyway, she had a SNP that says it binds folate. Which is the FOLR2.
Yeah, that's a folate receptor.
So we have just now begun the L5-MTHF. She was just doing lots of greens.
Okay. Watch her with that, right? Okay. So really watch her to see if it improves it. Watch her to see if it starts to get her a little more anxious. Ask her about her sleep. Ask her about her anxiety.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. How much are you taking? Is it a low dose one or is it Seeking Health? I don't remember how much is in it. It might be a 1,000.
Actually, I think it's only, I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it might be a small enough dose that she's okay with it, but just be careful if ever you try to increase the dose. Know that you got to be careful of anxiety with these COMTs.
Okay.
Liver, gallbladder, you've got on a lot of stuff. So 3 gel caps, 2 hours. Yeah, so you've got, other than what we talked about with the kudzu, with maybe the Romania, and you can add that, you can even add that to the elixirs. If you pour boiling water over it and soften them up, you can blend it up. I've done that and added it to elixirs. I've also done it in a tea, just, you know, stir it up there and get the good stuff out of it. And then I like to chew them. It was a really good brand and I can't find it. Herbalist and Alchemist, maybe they have it again. They were out the last time I tried to order it, actually. They had the best processed Romania. I mean, I would literally just like, oh, this is really good. This is good. And I loved eating it. Maybe because I needed it, my body was gravitating towards it, but it was soft enough that it was real easy to eat.
And okay.
I had to be careful not to eat too much. If you eat too much, it could cause some diarrhea. So. But it's a good immune support. It's a good kidney support and a good adrenal support.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. I think you're doing great. Buffered vitamin C, 5,000. So you had mentioned earlier you were doing 2,000 three times a day on the C.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was at 417. And then just in this last 2 weeks at 817, when I saw her last, we moved it to 6,000. So that was 2,000 three times a day. But you had mentioned to try and move her up to bowel tolerance. But with a buffered vitamin C, does it create that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So keep moving up, 1,000 at a time?
1,000 at a time. So if she's taking 2,000 three times a day, like you go and have her take one of those times, take 3,000 and then keep the other two, make sure. And then the next day you can do two and three and keep inching it up. You could also add, if she's willing, cause it's expensive, the liposomal. And I always tell people, take as much liposomal as you can afford. And for some people, it's none. For some people, it's one because it's a dollar a dose. It's a dollar a gram. So to get a person on like a 10 gram vitamin C, which I think like in a case like this, you might be looking at getting her up to that 10 gram, 12 gram, 15 gram, because we see that depending on where they're at. I mean, you know, that people say be careful of the kidney, kidney stones and all that, but there is really not a whole lot of really good evidence that you can create a kidney stone from too much vitamin C. It's really not solid evidence. But yeah, I always say as much liposomal as you can afford, and then the rest of it you do the cheaper brands, the cheaper form. It's always cheaper than IV, right? And if you're like, well, go get IVs. Well, IVs are going to cost you $150 a pop plus a lot of time. So, right? $10. Yeah. You know, and oftentimes I'll just have people do that for a few weeks just to see, and then we could pull it back and level off. But especially if you're in this situation. But the sleep is really the biggie, the taurine. That's the other piece we talked about. Really looking at the taurine or the magnesium taurate. Saba, you know, looking at her genetics may or may not be issues. Start with the taurine because the taurine is connected to both the sleep and the bile stuff. And, you know, just really go through your sleep stuff. Go through the whole sleep module and see if there's pieces that she's missed that you've not worked with her on. And try to get her sleeping.
You know, it was really interesting in the beginning when I had her doing the magnesium and lavender. She was getting 4-hour sleep cycles for like a week, and then it went away. And so I don't know if something happened that she's not willing to talk about or something, but I also had in the first week, I was having her put some hydrogen peroxide, 35% hydrogen peroxide in that water too, which was really oxygenating her. And she was sleeping like a baby. So I wonder if the altitude that she lives at, that oxygen, that hydrogen peroxide was oxygenating her, you know, her body to where she was actually resting better.
Did she stop it because she didn't think it was working anymore, or did it stop working, or did she stop it and then because she got scared or she forgot, or, you know, those
she
are
stopped it because she ran out.
Oh, Have her go back. And sometimes what happens is you get somebody on a dose and it makes a difference, and then they level out and you need to increase the dose.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You guys, you can do this. She can do this. She just has to, yeah, get some of this stress out of her system. She's very dedicated, obviously. She's taking all this stuff and she's doing the dietary, so.
Yeah, I mean, she has a clean, clean, clean diet.
That's great.
And her journaling has really helped. And I mean, I don't have her just journal emotions, but I have her journal everything.
Yeah.
You know, so she's not just numbers, but every piece of food she's putting in her mouth. So
that's dedication when people are willing to do that. That's really
she's tired of being sick.
Of course. Right. But they don't always do that. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, credit where credit is due, that she is dedicated. And I've worked with the people who are so dedicated. They'll do that. They'll really work it. And then the others say, why are you complaining? Because I have to do it. And I win. This isn't working. Why isn't this working? I mean, yeah, you know. So you just give her that kudos that she is dedicated. And that
now the emotional piece.
The emotional piece really needs to be addressed.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Good job.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. It is 10:30. We've been at this for 3 hours. So, I think we'll do 2 case studies per call from now on.
I think so.
But I like doing this because I think everybody can learn a lot from them. Lynn, I think what we should do is see if we can have them at least write, you know, case 1, case 2, case 3, and what they were, right? And maybe, I don't know how I feel about putting up these things. At least put up the intake forms, like, so we get the history of the person. I'm not, you know, because you've got names on them, and I just don't want to have a legal issue of, like, we're posting your client's stuff to our members.
Well, if they do some type of a presentation, they can they can put it on a separate Word doc without the person's name.
Without the name. And then they can just take the with it, and I think they'll be more useful. But I'm concerned. But we can at least put the intake, the uploader form that has some of the background for the person, and put that up with the cases. So we say case one was, you know, submitted by Isabel. Here's the things. Case two was, and case three was, and they were approximately, you know, an hour apart, but people would know what's there. Because that way it's easier when you go back and you have only a little bit of time to go, oh, I want to hear that case, right?
Right. It would be interesting to have the people who are attending or watching the replay recordings have a way to give their input as well.
Well, we can create little quizzes based on the like little intake things. You know, what would be fun would be to create a little Google form that could all the each person could enter their form about what their thoughts
were. Oh, yeah.
And then that could be put out to a spreadsheet and all that would be together. Yeah. And we could actually do that on a running form. We could just do that as a running form, right? And have access to that sheet because I think that, you know, date, right? Person that submitted it.
Yeah. Right. You know, like how many Dutch tests have we done? You know, Dutch tests.
Done a lot. And you know, Sharon did some work for us where she went through the old ones from our ERSPC, the precursor to NEPT. And we now have 2 years worth of case studies that she's cataloged and we know what's in them. So we're going to post them so people know, oh, look, I want to listen to that one. And I think with these, maybe I can have her go back and do some of these because we've done a lot of Dutches. We've done a lot of genetics. You know, we've done a lot of biohealth. So we've done a lot of stool tests. And if we had them all cataloged and maybe from this point forward, we just create the cataloging. Like we take the extra 10 minutes while it's fresh in our mind to when we, you know, submit it to be posted to Jazzy that she has that information. That might be helpful for everybody with having that. So having on there, the forms. Like I said, I'm not comfortable with sharing master trackers or, well, you don't even have the person's name, so we could actually share the master
tracker.
We just wouldn't want to share any of the labs that have her name on it. And probably even the methylation report, right? Your metabolic healing, you don't have her name on it, right? So it's only the biohealth that you had her name on it, right? Or the stool tests. So whichever ones have the name. Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you for those of you. Let me see who's still here. We've dropped down to six of us, but we're the dedicated ones. Valerie, Susie, and Isabel, and Jarena, and Lynn, and I. So good job. Susie, who is Susie? Because I haven't met you.
Okay, so this is my fault. I thought I posted it the first time on NEPT. And within a short period of time, I realized I hadn't. And so Susie is an IRSPT, and she just got a sneak peek at
there you go. Well, hi, Susie. I can see you posted it on the INE page instead of this page. And so all right. Well, welcome, Susie. Hi, unmute yourself and say hi. I'm glad you were here and got and you were dedicated because you were here like right at the beginning and you're here the whole 3 hours.
Well, she's in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, my God.
Different time zone.
Time zone there. Awesome. Well, good. Welcome. And I'm glad you got to hear and listen in. And I hope you learned a lot.
Yeah. She's, she was in Sweet Spot at first and then she joined IRSPT. Shamima.
Yes.
If I said that.
Can you hear me?
I can now, Susie. Hi.
Hi, I'm sorry I'm incognito for some of my own personal reasons, but I really enjoyed this and I always enjoy your input, Dr. Rita Marie. You're so in everything and you're so able to do all this back-to-back talks and analysis. MashaAllah, I really want to learn from you.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad you got to be with us today. And you know, it just takes practice. Like before I would have to sit with some cases for hours before I would be able to articulate. And now we just do this. I don't even look at these. I mean, literally we ask you to get them in 24, 48 hours in advance. So Lynn can get them set up in the right folder and I can open them up, but I always have them set up so I can go through them. but I don't actually look at them in advance. So, and it's something to aspire to. And the more you do, and the more you work with people, and the more you learn, the more you're going to be able to do it, right? And instead of it taking you 3 hours to prepare for one of your client meetings, you can get there really quickly, right? And it really helps. So,
Dr. Rita Marie, I think I'm stuck in my RSPT, IRSPT insulin resistant program, and I'm not progressing.
Yeah, she just sent me another email. I sent a note to Czar.
So she's not progressing to the next module, because that's interesting.
Yeah, there's sometimes that happens. Huh. So we're going to get it taken care of.
Yeah, we'll make sure. We're going to be, you know, once we're testing out our consumer site, the VLM side, where you have a sweet spot, within 2 weeks, we should be up on our new system, which is going to be much easier to deal with and much more reliable. So once we've tested that for a while, then we'll probably move our practitioner stuff over there as well and make it much easier for everybody to deal with.
But, that would be great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Well, you can give us some feedback on how you like it on the sweet spot side. And it literally, we thought it was going to be like the guy said, you know, software people, right? Oh, yeah, I can do that in a month. And when did we start? 6 months ago, right? Right. So, you know, oh, yeah, it's a month and it costs this much a month. I'm like, oh, okay, we'll do it. And it's 6 months at the same amount per month. And we're going, okay, I hope this works really well. But it should. We love the way it's looking. And like I said, it's going to be worthwhile if we do it on the NEPT side too, and the IRSPT and all that. So
I just want to tell you that last year I ran a program with 5 students and they all made a lot of improvement. And this year, next month, I'm starting my second intake. And I hope that from what all I have learned from you, that I can apply to them.
Wonderful. And, you know, you're helping a lot of people. And what kind, you know, you're helping people around the world. I love that we have this diverse international audience. So wonderful work that we're all doing. And I think that when we can create those programs and reach 10 people at a time, you create the such that the price is lower. I know Isabel's done some insulin resistance and gut stuff that way. The price gets lower for them. So they're more able, you're getting more, reaching more people. And it's a broader thing and it's actually less work for you. So once you get it set up, of course. So good luck with that. And thank you for coming to this call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie and Lynn and the rest of you.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, stop recording.